Yeah, she's not online right now. Oh, well, no big deal.
Good morning, my brothers and sisters all around this fragile blue but oh-so-corrupt planet. This is Dave once again from the Wolves Den Studio. And I will be back in just a minute or two with Dean Clifford and his midget Tracy. Now, what's a laughter? She's only 3 feet tall. But we'll be back with his first Sunday morning show. So enjoy the rest of this music recording.
Out, but that's okay.
That song will be about a 7-minute one at the break too, Dean, so if you want to say something off air and then also make sure you do have a break, it'll be longer.
You're on the air.
Hi, everyone. Hi, Dave. Thank you.
Oh, I'm here. I'm just listening.
And Dean Clifford is just listening. We're waiting for a list of questions. Dave, do you have anything so far?
Dean, being as this is not your first time on Wolf Spirit Radio, but it's been first time in a long time, so tell people a little bit about yourself, where you're coming from, why you're here, and why you have the midget with you.
Why I'm here this morning, man, I got harassed mercilessly this week to remember to be home Sunday morning to get this done after an 80-hour work week. So after sleeping 12 hours, I'm awake, terrified that I would have slept in and had to have heard about this and multiple emails the rest of the day. So I awoke and made myself some yerba mate, and now I'm sitting at the computer doing the radio show. That's why I'm here today. No, I'm kidding. I actually, I've been getting out a little bit more in the last couple of weeks here, and getting back, things got a little busy there for 2 weeks after spending a month in jail recently, coming out of that more than victorious, and then spending another month trying to get my life back together. I had multiple job sites that were a month behind, so I had to kind of not be on my forum at all and not be on many radio shows at all and get my work done, which is caught up kind of now, so... With hot on the heels of all the momentum that we got going right now with this whole law movement, I'm trying to get out there as much as I can right now and make sure that everybody's working together here for the same goal. So that's why I'm here this morning. Gee, I don't know. What else? I know you wanted me to talk a little bit about my history, so I'll just I'll go through that pretty quickly because I think it's more important to talk about current events and whatnot. But I used to be just like everybody else, probably when I was about 22 years old. I thought government was a government. I thought income taxes was something you paid to be a good citizen, and they went towards all sorts of government programs that helped everybody and filed my taxes. I think, well, actually, that's a lie. I think around 20 years old when I woke up to all that bullshit, but I think that's last year I filed my taxes too when I was 20 years old. I'm 17 years out now, but that was I started my battles back in the day with refusing to file or pay income taxes anymore, and that was my protest back then. And learning about why CRA appeared to have so much power and authority to be able to go in and seize your bank accounts and make your life hell got me started my studies to find out who exactly they are and how they're able to do what they did. And that's led me down a 15-year path now to being at the age of 37, and I don't think I'm able to... We got this whole system dissected now. We know exactly what's going on. We're trying to get everybody brought up to speed on what government is, what statutes are, what's really going on in the world right now, who they are, who their rights are, where their power is, how to get their power, not back. You've never lost your power, you just never used it. It's like a latent mutant power that you've never used yet, and once you do, it's going to be out there, and you can't basically ever shut it off ever again, so you better learn how to use it. That's where I am. So I don't know if anybody's aware too much of my history, but I've been... I'm one of those people that really doesn't mind putting his money where his mouth is. I've spent multiple weekends and multiple times in jail now, usually stemming from traffic charges and getting into it with the cops and the courts and not putting up with any of their bullshit. Most recent one, well, geez, I think the longest I had previously spent in jail was 20 days last year, all stemming from alleged traffic offense where I had a truck taken and I had an altercation with the RCMP here in Manitoba. Had another altercation with the British Columbia RCMP. That entire audio is posted online and can be found at Vimeo and I think on our forum for anybody to listen to, that if you want to hear how you can handle yourself when you have even a limited knowledge of law and your own rights. Right up to the most recent one here, geez, 2.5 months ago now, where I was approached by a belligerent RCMP officer at my local grocery store, which I don't, apparently I'm much like you, I don't tolerate bullshit there, Dave, so as soon as he started mouthing off to me, that was it. And that led to a physical struggle where I was arrested and charged with multiple offenses. 26 days later, after spending some time in solitary confinement and maximum security, they had to release me, and there's no more court hearings, no more charges, nothing. In fact, they're doing everything they can to cover up the incident and get rid of even the video evidence that they had of the police officer attack, because now the ball's in my court, and I'm going to be going after them mercilessly for what they did to me.
I knew I liked you for a reason. today we will start your archives, and if you'd like to have anything posted here, because we're getting over 1,000 downloads a week
of cool
shows,
and we need to get that up a bit.
As soon as my webmaster wakes up, my nephew, he's also a computer. He's a genius on computers. I'm good. I'm merely good. He's a genius.
I can turn mine on and speak on Skype.
No, we're going to have to talk about what you need in that, and we'll do that sometime later this week, because today I have a brand new mixer to set up for my for this setup, because I'm building a webinar studio where I can do webinars for people. And I have one coming up next Sunday with Rebecca Jernigan.
I have no idea who that is.
She has been in, she's probably the second longest person in the world who's been doing internet radio.
Oh, cool.
And I've got her archives going back to 2006. And I am here to help you get your word out. And you know, it's interesting because I have at least six people who are a host on Wolf Spirit Radio who talk about the corruption in government. And I have Jaguar who talks about Canada, you who talk about Canada, Michael McCracken, who's an American Indian, who talks about how you have to understand how it's equity where you beat them in at their own rules, because most law enforcement, most judges don't know what they're allowed to do. And every judge in Canada and the United States has a Wall Street number. That's their retirement fund, because every fine that they put on some poor individual who doesn't know any better goes into their retirement fund.
They all get a commission off of this stuff. That's what everybody has to realize. And as soon as you start costing them money, that's when they start leaving you alone.
Thank you. And I have a little sticker on my car that says, if anyone stops this car for any reason, you bought it for $250,000. When this one deputy smart, he said, what's that mean? It means if you stop my car for any reason, it's going to cost you $250,000 from your insurance company. Well, you can't do that. I said, try it. Go ask.
So that would be trespassing, eh, Dave? Trespassing on your...
And the next day I want to see your insurance paper, your driver's license, and your insurance. You turn them upside down on your dash and say, you do not have permission to trespass my car. where's the emergency, and how are you today?
Right, where's the injury?
Exactly.
Yeah, well, I think anybody can listen to that in the 2-hour interview I had out in BC there, where I recorded the conversation with the cops, and unfortunately, some of them are just not even intelligent enough to understand that they're harming you, and they really do think that they have absolute authority on roads. Even this most last incident, their most recent one, where the Constable Street informed me that the Royal Canadian Mounted Police own the highways, and I have to abide by their rules, not even just government, the RCMP themselves. I have to do whatever they tell me to if I want to be on their roads.
I had a run-in with some people from the probation department who were checking to see if my house was suitable for one of my sons who just got out of jail. And they started there, and they said, well, you have to put your dogs here. And I said, show me your rules and regulations. I said, how do I know you're telling me the truth? And they looked at me like, how dare I? You don't even have arrest authority. You're a probation officer. You're a wannabe cop. I says, and you cannot violate my God-given rights as spelled out down here it's the Bill of Rights in what's left of the Constitution. And they got really upset. They said, but we can come in here. I said, no, you can't. You can't come in my house without a search warrant. And if you come in my house, you keep your hands out of your pocket, because I'm going to have people here videotaping you just to make sure you don't plant any drugs. And then finally I said, what's your post number? Who's your bond agent? Who's your insurance agent? They gave me the finger and walked off. I had a call from a captain up here that's in charge of probation. And he said, you're a son of a bitch. I said, you know what? You have a consequence coming, and you don't get to call it. I said, who the fuck do you think you are? Talking to me like that? I said, I'm your boss. Don't you ever forget it. He hung up on me. I can't understand why.
Well, you got to remember, when you're dealing with any of these people, number one, one of the first things you want to get out of your mouth is that, hey, before we do anything more here, there could be some liability issues. And due to the fact there could be some liability issues, I need your information, so that in case you cause any damage, I know what insurance provider to go to, or your bond agent. So I'm going to need your name and birth date, please. I'm going to need to see your birth certificate. Isn't that what, don't they always ask you for that?
Not down here. They ask to see your driver's license.
Which is the same thing, because you need a birth certificate to get a driver's license. It's all linked back together. Either way, it's got your birth date on it and your name, and that's what they need.
Your name
to start putting...
It
doesn't matter. That links back to you, right? That's how they find you.
That links back to your corporate ID, which is not how I spell my name.
Yeah, well, without getting into too much, but look at what they're doing to figure out how to go back after them. They've got this system down to a T, that they've got you representing this legal fiction, and all they have to do is get your name and your birth date, and they can start leaning it, and then come holding and arresting you as surety. Okay? Just reverse that on them. I need your name and birth date, because anybody, as long as you have a name and a birth date, you can go file a lien against somebody. And you can start severely damaging them. Look at what they're doing to you, and just start doing it back to them. And as soon as you start doing that, they're going to want to leave you alone, because that's exactly how you go after those accounts that they've got that has their little retirement funds in it. And not only that, once you start, if you lien them for enough money and their insurance company pulls their bonding, they're no longer working as one of these alleged public servants, right? So instead of worrying so much about how they're doing it to us, to get away from that, learn from it and use it. Say, hey, you guys normally ask me for ID. I need to see your ID. If you want to see mine, I need to see yours, because I need your name, I need your birth date, and if we're all equal before the law, then you have to show me that. Otherwise, we're not equal before the law, which means I'm not even speaking to you, I'm leaving. This is just a terrorist operation right now.
Yeah, can I interject there, you guys? So it's you're standing in law, like when you're standing up for your rights, Dave, the way you are with that authority, not only are you educating, but you're standing in lawful, your lawful place as a living, breathing, flesh and blood body. What they're doing is standing in legal procedure, so they're pushing legal procedure against your commodity. That's who you are to them, a commodity. They're going to traffic. They're going to contract with you, do business. But when you know you're a sovereign, when you know you have rights as a living, breathing body, you're asserting a lawful procedure back on them. And so that's what I learned from Dean just in the last month, because I walked a similar path to him over 10 years, just standing up to things that fell on my path. And that resulted in the government here labeling me a Freeman on the land in writing. And over the last few months, I started to notice that it was solution. You know, as many as we are strong, it's solution now, not protesting, because that really was our reaction. And when I spoke to Dean and learned that he was in lawful process, due process mode, and that he'd learned enough and gleaned enough and discovered enough in actual doing it and living it, that once we were educated, you know, based on the law, ignorance of the law is no excuse, and once he learned the law of protecting his rights and freedoms, then we now can move into solution mode where we can share this truth and the what the education has served to empower us, the people. And what I find I'm doing now is I'm having conversations with cops on the side of the road and educating them, and it's a lot calmer. They still don't necessarily understand, but they're listening, because we're not reacting anymore. We're just saying, hey, you know, I know the law. And for example, I got pulled over and he said, I'm giving you a speeding ticket. And I said, well, I just want to point out you have an option to not cause me injury and give me a warning. And, we're still in process on that one. I did receive the speeding ticket, but there was no injury caused to the public. I'd like Dean to elaborate on that there really is no public. It's all private business going on.
Yeah, probably so, yeah. Into that a whole lot today. I think we're going to keep things a little bit more simple. If we start over, you start getting into more complicated things, you're kind of jumping way ahead of people's where they're at to be able to understand and actually get some practical application of what we're learning here.
Yeah, I agree. But it's just a matter of knowing that there is lawful process, and when they don't have to get upset anymore on the side of the road and end up in handcuffs, you know. But
not only that. In fact, turn your recorder on. Buy a digital little recorder for $20, little voice one. If you don't have a phone, or just use your phone. Mine records for a couple hours audio. Just turn it on and start talking and questioning them and gather evidence the same way that they gather evidence against you. Isn't that what they do? Just talk and hold the microphone up to them when they're talking, because they're going to testify against themselves. That's the whole reason that when they arrest you and they take you into the station and you're blabbing like an idiot, and every time you stop talking, they just stare at you, and it's an uncomfortable silence for about 10, 15 seconds, and they say, do you have anything else to say? And you go off for another 10 or 15 minutes. Everybody does it. Most of us used to do it. The only problem is that once they figured out that everything I was saying was right, every time they let me rant on, they stopped letting me talk at all. But just do everything right back to them. Start recording them. And anytime they say, oh, you know, these are the public roads, and you're required to have a driver's license, and we own these roads, the RCMP, and we are the law, and you have to do everything we say just to be on them. Really? Tell me more. I want to hear all about this, please. And put the recorder back in his face. I want to hear all about how you guys own the roads. I want to hear every stupid, ridiculous, retarded claim you people are about to make. Because you're going to have to prove that up. You're just testifying against yourself right now, and you're damaging me. I think it's hilarious the more that they speak. And then you get a guy like Constable Dave there out in B.C., who admits that he's never even heard of the Canadian Bill of Rights. He thought I was talking about American law. The guy's a Canadian cop. He didn't even know there was a Bill of Rights in Canada. Again, it's not ours, it's the government's, but the fact remains, it's one of the pieces of law that is, it's a foundation law in Canada. He didn't even know we had one. And these idiots are out patrolling the roads and harming people, and they know nothing about law. Absolutely nothing. So it's no different.
Here's a comment from the chat. Sorry, Dean. He says, plus they're doing business, and they're required to give you a business card when you request one.
Yes, they are, and I don't leave it there either. I want their birth date. I want your date of birth. I need to be able to identify your precise legal person, your vessel, so that I can seize it, which is what a lien is, and harm you and hold it in port until I get remedy, so that you can't go out and conduct commerce anymore until my liens are satisfied. You want that date of birth. They'll do everything they can to avoid giving it to you. And if they're not giving me theirs, then they're not getting mine. And if they want to try to arrest me for failure to identify themselves, then another cop is going to get thrown around the parking lot. We're going to make a real big fucking deal about this. We're going to make sure there's so much damage they've caused me by the end of it that they'll hope to hell the next guy doesn't do it.
And that's why it's important to go after the person, to hold the person, whether he's whatever corporation, RCMP or whatever. It's important to name the person. That's what we used to do. We used to name the corporation, but nothing is public. Everything's private. We're all private nation estates, each one of us. So we have to be accountable for our actions, no matter who we collect a paycheck from.
Yep, except I definitely want to hold the RCMP, the actual business itself, accountable as well for being liable for its agents and members, and leave it to them to say, we're not assuming liability for what he did there. Oh, so you're trying to tell me he was definitely acting on his own then? He was not acting under the authority of your organization that pretends to be law enforcement up here? Excellent. Thank you. Thank you for setting that precedent. Now we know that these people are not acting under any authority on the highway. They're not acting under the authority of an RCMP. They're just out there privately harming people. Thank you for finally admitting to that. You got everything that they do, you got to turn around and use it against them, and it answers a question every time. So, yeah. I'm actually looking for a piece of case law right now on Skype while we're talking. Somebody sent me the other day that was actually a beautiful piece of case law supporting the fact that none of us need driver's licenses in the first place, and I'm having trouble locating it, but that's a no-brainer. And you got to remember that everybody is always talking about all the public, it's the public roads, and it's like, yeah, that's right, it is the public roads, but they're there for our private use. For free. We pay for them. Every time I fill up my diesel truck, believe me, I'm paying about $80 in taxes. Because I tell you right now, the diesel going into that tank, it's no way it could cost more than $20. So all that money, I don't know if there is this applies down in the United States as well, because you guys are paying just as much for gas right now. I think we're probably about $5 a gallon or more we're paying right now by comparison. But there was an article that came out locally where I live about 9 months ago, and I should have kept it. It was in the Winnipeg Free Press. And they had somebody had actually gone through the effort of doing a study on gasoline taxes. And what they discovered was in Greater Vancouver alone, just Vancouver, the city of Vancouver, collects enough gasoline taxes to pay for all infrastructure, all road maintenance, all snow clearing, all highway upgrades, all new infrastructure, you name it. If it's to do with roads and road construction and road maintenance in Canada, just the city of Vancouver alone raises enough money in gasoline taxes to pay for all that. So where's the other 94% of gasoline taxes collected going?
Well, we know they're taking the money just to take it, just to, take our power, take our rights, just take.
They are stealing it with no-bid contracts to organizations to perform no service that they also own, corporations. No-bid contracts. It's all a scam. Anybody who believes that it's our patriotic duty to pay income taxes and pay all these taxes to fund a government that is nothing more than a front to siphon money to private corporations owned by these politicians, they need their head examined. And I was trying to tell this to people 12 years ago, and they thought I was crazy. Mm-hmm. Oh, you just don't want to pay your share. You just blah, 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 blah. Just ignorant people that have no clue trying to tell me that I'm the ignorant one. So, but times have changed. It's very empowering.
Yeah, I was going to say, legal procedure is not law, and that's the big difference, they think it's the law. When I was pulled over, a police officer said it's the law, and I said, well, actually, no, it's legal procedure. I'm asserting the law. I'm asserting the law right now, and I'm telling you, you know, my truth right now, and you had an agenda. You know, you were looking to contract to do business, and we don't, we're not going to do business here. So it's the difference between legal procedure, you know, corrupt legal fiction, and law, divine lawful rights and freedoms that protect the people.
Yep, and that comes down to an equitable situation when you got pulled over there. You're the only injured party. You're the only one with a lawful claim, which means it doesn't matter what he's doing to you, you have the superior claim over him for unlawful arrest and harassment.
Trespass, yeah.
It's definitely trespass. Trespass to property, trespass to body, uttering threats, because as soon as they tell you you're going to be arrested if you don't identify yourself for no reason, that's uttering threats. They just,
yeah.
As they're speaking, you just keep pointing that stuff up. So,
I was able to do it in a calm way because I understood it. You know, I knew the law and I knew the legal procedure that he was trying to, you know, push on me. And he was young, you know, half my age, and it was quiet, and he listened because I had confidence. I wasn't upset, and I didn't heed to his threat. I want to ask you, Dean, do you recommend that to people to not, like in this case, I was driving with a driver's license, and I said, well, if there's no crime and there's no injury, I really don't want to give you my ID, but if you're going to arrest me like you just told me you would, I will, because, you know, I obviously don't want further injury. And I'm just wondering, do you recommend people use a driver's license and then do process, you know, backwards, like you're saying, use it on them, or go through that not having a driver's license and trying to, you know, educate the cop from that position?
Okay, it depends how diehard you are. If you're like me, I'm telling you right now, it is a hell of a lot of fun to have no license, to have no license plate, or a homemade one that you put on. You send them notice and send it to the public safety minister and the minister of infrastructure and transportation. Say, this is what I'm using. So you'll know who I am when I'm on the roads, and here's who I am. And that's where you tell them who you are exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And do it that way, and be prepared to buy another vehicle cash until you finish fighting to get the other one back out, which can be fun as well. I call them renting out vehicles. Most of my friends call me Bob Barker, the rate I give these things away right now. But they're just sitting right now collecting rent, I call it, because they think they're charging me a daily impound fee. No, you guys are paying my rental fee for having my property without a lawful claim. And, oh, don't worry, it's about to come down on them. So I don't mind renting my trucks out. I make more money doing that than I do at my job sites. But failing that, having a driver's license and having registration still does not bind you to that crap. Again, I don't know how many times I've told people that. That's a very limited jurisdiction. You have to be doing certain things for that license to be in a force and effect. And that means performing a function of government under some policy or program of the government. And you're never doing that unless you can produce payroll, because I don't know about you guys, but I don't work for free. But not only that, the driver's license is not yours. The province claims it as its own property, right? And if you want to, feel free to dispute that, because I could argue both stances right now. I could argue that it is my driver's license because I pay for it. I paid for it. So until you give me my money back, it's mine. I own all equity in this license, number one. Number two, if you're asking for it back, beside the fact that you have to pay me, are you qualified to be demanding the license back? Do you work for the proper agency of the government that is qualified to demand that piece of to demand that piece of property back? No, they're not qualified. They don't work for driver's licensing. Okay? Only driver's licensing can demand the license back. So, you're required to produce ID, then go get the proper ID. And anybody that listens to any of my shows, or if they want to come on the forum, there's proper ID you can get out there to identify yourself, right? And if you do not have a driver's license, which I do not, how could you be compelled to produce the impossible? They're compelling me to do the impossible, produce something I don't have. And I bring that up with them at the side of the road. I said, well, I'm telling you right now, I don't have one of your driver's license because I don't require permission to be on my own roads, number one. He said, number two, if I don't have it and you're telling me I'm under arrest if I don't produce it, you are compelling me to do the impossible. You are threatening to arrest me if I cannot do the impossible. That's like me saying to somebody, if you don't float in the air right now and fly, I'm going to arrest you. Well, is it even reasonable to make that kind of a demand on somebody who, number one, hasn't caused any harm, so I have no claim in the first place, and number two, that is not even capable of doing that? So I'm going to arrest you if you can't do that. If you cannot walk through a brick wall, I'm going to arrest you for failure to walk through a brick wall. It's just as stupid, and it's all puke. It's just meant to deceive you or make you believe that you require all this government crap just to live. And you don't, because we don't answer to government. They answer to us. We created them. If we didn't create them, then they're completely foreign to us, which means they have nothing to do with us. Either that, or we simply allow their existence to carry on for the time being. All three of those scenarios mean that they have no authority to tell me what to do. If I created them, they obey me. If I didn't create them, I have nothing to do with them, which means they certainly have no right to be interfering in my private affairs. And number three, if I just kind of, whatever, they're here and I just kind of allow them to continue existing, that doesn't grant anybody authority over me either. So it's all crap and puke, and people have to realize that and stop signing up for all this nonsense and contracting with government. That's actually one of the things that got me put in solitary and max security there lately, is because I told them to go ahead and I said, you're only harming yourselves. I said, I don't want to be here. You're going to keep me here against my will. So the least I could do is educate everybody else in the prison. So, and I'd already been doing that for 3 or 4 days. And what I like to do is I like to teach all the natives that are in there, because 90% plus of the population in there is all native peoples who are in there for breach of probation in one form or another. You know, what they call their girlfriend that they've got a no-contact order against. Next thing you know, the cops are arresting them, and they're in jail for 6 months for a breach of probation. So I like to teach them all about how they're not Aboriginals, and they should send back their Aboriginal status card. And again, all that kind of good stuff, and inform them about how they should be firing their lawyer and informing the court that they are the sovereign people of this land, and they don't obey British puke, and they don't work for the government. And that got me thrown in solitary confinement. They just want people in jail learning stuff. So, which didn't bother me again, because it's like, well, you're just harming yourselves more by doing this. And they did, and it made things worse for them. In the end, I told them, I should hire you people as my PR department. You guys are getting the message of freedom out there way better than I ever could, because there's like, there's people from as far away as Australia now calling and sending faxes to the Gimli RCMP and to the Attorney General of Manitoba, letting them know what scumbags they are and that they're violating my human rights by putting me in solitary confinement because of my political beliefs. And I was laughing about it in there. Never be afraid of these people. Stand up for yourselves. So that was a rant that went on to several different topics, but we seem to have no format today. So what do you want to talk about next?
Well, there's a seven who wants to join in the conversation and talk about some, you know, equity. If you want to bring him in on the conversation.
Well, that's what I like to hear that more from people. If you go back and watch some of my videos from when I first started the teaching people here in Winnipeg, I was talking about equity. It's always been equity. Equity is king, period. Because what this all boils down to, and you don't, so what people are failing to realize, it turns out you don't need this fantastic education in law. You don't need to know all this case law. You don't need to know statutes. You don't need to know any of this stuff. Everything boils down to this very simple principle. Who is injured? How much were they injured? And what's it going to take to fix the problem? What is the remedy? So what is the injury? And what is the remedy? And who is injured?
But it helps to know the jurisdiction that they're operating in, right? That they are operating in Admiralty jurisdiction, no?
Give a flying rat's ass what jurisdiction they're claiming to be coming from. And the minute you trespass against me, you now entered my jurisdiction. I don't give a flying shit what jurisdiction you're claiming, because you trespassed into my sovereign territory. I am the law here. I am God. I am Caesar. You damaged me, and I will be holding you accountable, and you are in my jurisdiction. You entered my show, bitch. Okay, I don't care what they say. It's all puke. Don't even worry about it anymore. Well, I'm blah, 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 blah. I'm this, I'm that. Good for you. So anyways, let's get back to you trespassing on my front yard. I don't care who you are. You're trespassing on my front yard. You just damaged me. You just broke into my home. Okay? You're in my world now. And I am law here. And I am the injured party. And if you claim to have a right to be able to do anything that you just said, you're going to have to prove up that claim. I'm not going to have to read all of your puke to prove how your claim is bullshit. I don't care about that. You have to prove that you have the right to come and do something, which in a court of equity, they never, ever can. Which is why they had to create all their criminal courts that operate on procedures and statutory authority only. Because the minute they recognize your existing rights, your equitable rights, that all falls apart. They have nothing. And that's why they had to complete the... That's why they created that entire new jurisdiction that doesn't recognize any of your existing rights or equity or anything.
Right.
It's strictly statutory.
May I break in here for a moment?
Please do.
I would like to introduce Tracy and Dean to Michael McCracken, who's the host of the show on Wednesday evening called Through the Eyes of Equity. Michael, this is Tracy and Dean.
Hi, Michael.
Hi, Michael.
Hi, Tracy. Hi, Dean.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you also. You know, what you're saying, Dean, is pretty right on. What has happened is that they've taken the Chancery Courts, the Court of Inherent Equity, and they've turned them into an at-law function through statutory equity. And they do that all through resultant trust and prima facie evidence. So once that's challenged, once you challenge the prima facie evidence, now they have to come out and tell the truth. And they don't want to answer those questions.
It turns out there is no prima facie evidence. It's all a con. That's why the minute you challenge it and the presumption doesn't stand anymore, their prima facie is gone. Without any prima facie, they have no facts. They have nothing, and it's done.
Exactly.
We can get into that if you want to.
I've been getting into it for years. You know, Dean, it's funny because when I listen to you, I got arrested for a DWI in 1992, okay? Now, the thing was, is I wasn't even driving. The keys to the vehicle that I was using that night, I stopped after work at a poker game and lost a ton of money. So I left and went out front. My car keys and my cigarettes and everything were still inside the house that I was gambling at. And I was changing the headlight on my truck, and two sheriffs pulled up, and the open bottom sheriff, she figured that it was her duty to arrest me. And it took me 12 years to beat him, but I finally beat him, and I beat him on Pearl Harbor Day. It was quite a battle. And one of the things that I found, and it's been coming out more and more, is that, see, they're doing everything through administrative process, and how we get our cases dismissed under 12B3 of the Federal Rules of Civil Procedure, under the rules, is that they say that we're looking for relief that where it can't be granted. And the thing is that, and you know, they always end up telling us, well, you didn't use all your administrative remedies. Well, what's finally come out here just recently with one of the cases that Rod Class has done is that an attorney accidentally told them that, you guys are never going to win because you've never done administrative process. And Rod said, well, what do you mean? He said, well, you never... went back to the original agency and requested an administrative hearing. So,
I could one up you there, but keep going. And I can tell you right now, Bullshit. None of us have ever done an administrative process.
But anyways, the more that we communicate and study and learn together, the more it's coming to a head here where there, you know, the administrative judges have said that there are no such thing as leases, police agencies. They're all private contractors. We don't know their job descriptions either. And this is how they've been able to get away with everything that they got away with. But now it's getting to the point where so many people are learning the truth that the judges are getting ready to hang out the cops to dry here pretty quick.
Oh, do you think they're going to put their retirement fund on the line to back up these guys' fraud?
No, not at all. And the
never
thing that makes the like these police officers and these police agencies, they have no arrest power. They have no powers to arrest.
They do, but we actually have higher arrest powers.
I understand.
We actually outrank them.
I understand that also, Dean, but they actually do not have arresting powers.
Only the ones that we have.
Only their arresting powers are for the people that are within the corporation. So, if they're going to arrest us, well then guess what? We need to get paid. We need to get paid from the time we're little, because if we're their employees, because that's the only ones they can go after, is the employees of the corporation. They're there; those police are there to police the other members of the corporation, not us. And that's the big lie that they've been using.
Yep.
So if they after us, huh?
This is my video from 2 years ago where I was telling people, "Hey, if you're claiming I've been an employee of your government or your organization for the last 30 years, we need to talk about A, back pay."
Exactly.
B, my current rate, and C, prepayment for future services, because I am not extending you people credit because you are delinquents and you never pay your bills.
Yep.
That's the shit. 2 years ago I was trying to tell people that. No. That's estoppel at law, by the way, when you want to go into a statutory court. Whoa, hey, we got a problem here. The judge has been paid, the Crown's been paid, or the public prosecutor. Everybody in this room is being paid right now. I haven't been paid yet. So here's my rates. If you want me to participate, I need to be paid in advance because you people are delinquents. You don't pay your bills. I'm unwilling to extend you credit. Until you produce a check, we have a stop law. I'm leaving. Bye. And leave. It's done. And if you drag me back in here in handcuffs, my rate quadruples.
That's right.
And we have a lienable event, and I will be coming after you. So, and not only that, if you drag me back in here and handcuff against my will, that is acceptance of my terms, which means you've agreed to pay my rates now. Obviously, as evidenced by the fact you're dragging me in here, you're the only one that's going to have facts and evidence backing you. They always have nothing. Nothing.
And Dean, you have to assert your rights just like you are in order to have them. That's what you're saying. Never mind the jurisdiction. Never mind what they're doing. What you're doing is standing in your truth and vocalizing it and asserting it in no uncertain terms. And therefore, that represents the law right there.
Well,
and you don't have to go any further.
You're right. You don't have to go any further. And this is exactly what you. How many people have been arrested and read their rights? Everybody.
Well, when I did a lot of research on that, and that's just a warning. That's not actually, your Miranda warning. I was talking with a fellow the other day that was all PO'd because when the cops come to arrest him, every time the guy went to talk, the one cop, the oldest cop of them all, kept telling, "Shut up, shut up, just shut up."
And did he?
Eventually he did, but...
Because then he complied. Then he complied. Then he allowed them to be authority.
Well, hang on. There's something else at play here. We'll get into that. We'll let him finish.
No, he didn't comply because he didn't make an intelligent waiver of his rights. if you look at the 1972 case of Arnsinger versus Hamlin, you have to make an intelligible waiver of your rights to give consent. The police officer, whenever they arrested him, they tell you, anything you say or do can and will be used against you in a court of law, right? The police officer was actually protecting the man's rights by telling him to shut up. But he
because it's a court of commerce, because it's not a court of law, it's a court of commerce. That's what he was telling him, because he'd be a misbehaving slave, still viewed as a commodity at that point.
Well, that's getting into another thing altogether. Well, we'll talk about that, but I can address the Miranda rights and what they call your charter rights up here in Canada, which is the same thing. And the problem is they're trying to establish jurisdiction when they're reading you the Miranda rights and or your constitutional rights, is what they call them up here in Canada.
Right.
When they read you your rights and they ask you if you understand, and you say, yeah, I understand that the only rights I have were granted to me by way of the Constitution of Canada, that establishes that you are a government agent. So whenever they say, I'm going to read you your rights, and they start reading, I'm like, no, those aren't my rights. Let me tell you about my rights.
That's right.
You don't tell me what my rights are. I will inform you of what my rights are. And you're damaging them right now, by the way. I just want to let you know that. There's been an injury. You always have to give notice of injury. Until there's been a notice given, there is no injury. And now that's a warning to them that they better smarten the hell up.
Well, see, in a lot of people, Dean, one of the things that a lot of people do is they make the excuses why they make excuses for these jabronis. Well, you know, the guy will get pulled over for speeding. Say he's gone 5 miles over the limit. He'll make excuses for this guy who's actually the one who's in the wrong, because the guy that has him is now committing what? A kidnap. Every time they pull you over, they're kidnapping you. How did they
well,
do it?
It's an unlawful arrest.
That's right, but an unlawful arrest is also a kidnap. Whenever you look up the definitions and the laws,
yeah. I think if you want to make the leap to kidnap, they have to have intentionally moved you even an inch, if need be, from one place to another before it officially becomes a kidnap. But unlawful arrest is a good enough injury. Go ahead.
Now, Dean, it's even better than that. Now think this through for a moment. Every constraint is a restraint, and every restraint is a kidnap, even if it's to stop your local motion for a moment.
Yep.
Even if it's just a momentary stop, you've been kidnapped.
Yep.
Well, it's a trespass.
It's an unlawful confinement. There's any number of injuries.
So when they pull you over, they're the ones that are actually committing the first crime. Unless you've done something where you've caused property damage or something like that.
Exactly. What's the claim against me?
That's right. And when they ask you if you understand, the best thing that you can say is that you don't have enough information to make an intelligent decision. You know?
I go with mine, which is, do you understand that you've harmed me?
Yeah, that's
do you understand
right.
This is an unlawful arrest and I now have a claim against you? Do you understand that you are the belligerent here?
Yeah, what I do is I speak first, and when I've had a couple of recent incidents, as I speak first, as the cop is approaching me, and no injury, I ask first what was the violation or was there an injury, and I get a no, and then I start talking to him first before he really has a chance, and then they come back, but it's sort of flipped it, because they don't ask for your driver's license and registration now, they ask for your information, so I'll give you some information. Here's the law versus your legal procedure.
Here's my rights, and here's how many of them you violated, and this is how much is going to cost you. That's what I'm going to tell you right now. Do you understand?
Yeah, I'll file a private prosecution.
Well,
right.
I wouldn't even...
The rules up there are a little different than the rules down here. What I ask them, every time that they come up to me, and they even try to ask me, how can you help me? And it just dumbfounds them whenever you say that to them. Right? Well, how can you help me?
Yep,
it throws them off. Well, you're here to serve and protect, right? So how can you help me? And it throws them off just enough where it's funny when you watch the look on their face when they do it.
If anything, again, just because it throws them off balance, they don't know how to answer that kind of stuff because they're just used to people obeying their commands. They're not used to people A, asking questions first, or B, starting to command them or question them the same way they normally question us.
Exactly.
Go ahead.
And everything that they do, everything that they do, the police officers. Now, there's been a lot of good cases lately where police are getting up on this. The people are putting them up on the stand, up on the witness stand, and asking them if they know the law, and they're even admitting they don't know the law. See, they don't know their jobs. That's the problem. And once we take the time to learn and understand their job description, boy, that
actually
that really
I disagree. They do know their job. It's legal procedure. They just don't know outside of that. I have the same thing when you go to a hospital emergency. The lab technicians and the receptionists treat you basically their job. It's their policy, and I'm just doing my job. Where's your tag around your arm? It's right here in my hand. Well, it's got to be on your arm. That's my job. Well, I'm coherent. I'm competent. I want you to acknowledge me first before you draw my blood. I'm a living being here. But they do know their job. Their job is to, and just like lawyers, is to know legal procedure and no more, so that they can dupe us innocently.
Their job is to strip you of your title and your jurisdiction and contract with you without condition.
That's right.
But they don't always know they're doing that. They don't realize they're doing that.
They're trained to do it, but they don't know what they're doing. But that doesn't mean that what they've done can't be used.
That's why we have to educate them rather than fight them, protest, scream at them, or be afraid of them, especially.
Oh, they learn real fast when you collect against them once.
Go, Dean, go.
They learn real fast.
Thanks for pioneering this movement. Exactly. That's really flipped the script.
Yeah. There's only one thing that talks in their system, and that's money. And the minute you cost them money, they have their own little internal system, like the RCMP and all the cops down the United States. They have their own little internal systems, their own little forums and chat rooms and organizations they belong to. And you better believe this stuff spreads to those organizations real fast. And one of the most recent things I've heard is that a lot of the cops down the United States most recently have been all warning each other to start getting all of their assets out of their own personal names. Because they're starting to realize that they're personally liable for all the damages they're out there causing.
That's awesome. And so they should be.
Well, that's like when I won my case and I collected off that DWI. What happened was is the woman sheriff ended up getting arrested. Or not, excuse me. Ended up getting married after she had arrested me. And she tried to put everything in her husband's name. But because they were both sheriffs, mind you, but because they were married, I went after her individually. And
privately.
That's how I was able to win. And it was really funny when it happened, because next thing I know, I see her out in the street, out at a shopping mall, and she comes up to me and she starts crying and the whole bit. I say, I don't care, I don't want to hear it.
Wow.
What you did. You restrained, constrained, abducted, and kidnapped me under the eminent use of armed force. You were a highwayman. You were acting as a highwayman. You stepped outside of your authority. You're
a pirate.
Which is a robber, by the way. For most people who don't know what a highwayman is, that's a robber.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's what they did. And See, they don't have the power to arrest. When you look at what their job descriptions are, they don't have the power to do what they're doing. They've only gotten away with it this long because people didn't know, and plus the judges have been protecting them. The lawyers have been protecting them. But those days are coming to an end because now enough people are finally starting to hear this stuff.
Yep.
I mean, when I first started teaching people this, the stuff that I was learning back in the 70s, Dean, Nobody listened. They all thought I was a crazy nut, you know. And I could show it to them right in the laws, right in the case law, right down the line. And people would look at you like you were insane. You've been through it. You know what I'm talking about.
Oh,
and
yes.
Now the last couple of years, they're waking up and they're saying, ho-ho, Michael, Dean, Tracy, you guys were right. You know, but it's a little too late because guess what? They treated us all like jerks whenever all we were trying to do was...
live.
But was live and try to help them to see that, hey, you're under the yoke of slavery. That's just like down here in the United States. Everybody goes, we the people, we the people. We ain't the people. The people is the crown temple, the inner temple over there in the city of London. Okay.
Yeah, we're the private individual. We the private individual is what they should
exactly.
be saying.
Exactly. And I get all these. I used to listen to people, and they'd say, "Well, prove it, prove it." So I would get the court cases that would prove it. In fact, if you go to the Attorney General of the state of Illinois' website and look up history of the Attorney General, it tells you exactly who we the people are.
Yeah, right. And that's a modern thing, by the way. So people don't be fooled into thinking that it's the same we the people mentioned in the Organic Constitution. Okay, let's cover maybe what's in a name here real quick before the first break, I think. And I want to remind people that when I was 14, I worked at McDonald's. That was my first paycheck job. And we used to get the deliveries on the weekend, and I would go work, and the boxes coming in with all the meat patties in it were called 100% grade A beef. So I always assumed, stupid me, that obviously the patties we were using obviously must have been what it was a description of what was in the box. The problem is that was actually the name of the company providing the meat. The name of the company was 100% grade A beef. Okay, it's all in the name. So don't ever assume that just because somebody says we the people, that A, they're talking about the same we the people, and B, they're even talking about the people, because that might be the name of a private corporation. You have no idea. This is because we never asked for clarity. I used to ask which people in court. When the Crown would say, well, we represent the people, I used to say, which people specifically? They didn't even want to go beyond that. They didn't want to tell you which people they were talking about. So how sad is that? Always demand clarity. Don't ever assume you know who they're talking about. Because they make up fake names all the time. They make up fake names that they operate under. Like the United States, the current corporation that has the same name as the old republic that was created by the Organic Constitution. But they're not the same government at all. One's a corporate logo, and the other is a corporation, which is another corporation created by an organic constitution. They're two completely separate institutions. And there's probably about another 20 that we don't even know about that are independently registered around the world. It's all crap.
Okay, I got a question from the chat, or should we go for break and open with it? Dave?
I'll let somebody else assume liability for that.
I accept liability. What do you want to hear? You want to hear In Love or the other one?
The 7 minute one. So there's a good break here, so Dean can take a break.
There's not a 7 minute one. That's
okay. Well, one of those Franti songs. Do either one.
Well, let me see this one. I have two of them queued up because Feeling Free or Love is Enough?
Feeling Free.
That's only 3 minutes after I...
Okay, then the other one then, Dave. And we'll open with your question, Andrew, when we come back. Thank you.
If you've got Gordon Lightfoot, The Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald, or the Canadian Railroad Trilogy, we're good for a half an hour, so...
good thing we don't.
You know what? You guys didn't tell me about all this, because I only pulled down three of them.
Ugh. Why don't you just play Iron good, Butterflies but... in the Garden of Vita? That's good for 20 minutes.
All right, we're going to go out with a little...
Is Love Enough. It's Is Love Enough is the song there, Dave.
All right, there we go. Someone took liability.
On break. We'll be back in about 5 minutes, folks. So go do what you got to do. We'll be right back.
Cheers.
Welcome back, my brother.
He shuts up immediately.
Welcome back again, my brothers and sisters. Here we are with Freeman on the Land, with Dean Clifford and Tracy Ann Smith, and we're talking about the title for his show, and Tracy wants one that's more than 64,000 characters, and Freeman on the Land is going to work great, don't you?
Sure. I'll go with it.
If you think of anything catchier and shorter, we'll let you know for next week. We're going to be back, Dave. We're coming back every Sunday.
I would hope so.
We're going to flip the script.
I just got committed. That was cool.
I'm on the team.
Yeah, they tried committing me in jail one time, too. It didn't work.
Yeah, way to stand your ground, by the way.
Yeah, nice. Actually, what we were just talking about off the air, and Tracy made a good point there, is that I often go off on a rant when we get into our little discussions off the air with people, especially with Santo and stuff like that, and a lot of the stuff we talk about when we're off air, when we get into it, turns out to be better than some of the stuff we even get on the air, so I try to limit that now. But while we're discussing names, and we were talking about Free Men on the Land, and I was saying why I don't mind that term, where a lot of people are starting to become adverse to it, trying to say, oh, I'm not one of those free men, and I'm not a free man on the land, and stuff like that. And I kind of turn that around a little bit. I always like to use things against people, and as Trace likes to say, flip the script a bit. And there's no problem with, if the government is going to spend millions of dollars and educate their agents and teach them all about these evil people called the Free Man on the Land movement, then I'm going to take all that energy and all that equity that they dumped into that name, and I'm going to use it for my own purposes. I got no problem being called a free man on the land. Sure.
Yeah, let's keep it simple. Let's just do that. Keep it simple.
It's a description. It's a valid description of what I am. Why would you be opposed to it just because the government's promoted a lot of hatred against that term, right? Again, there's no such thing as bad press. There's just press. After that, okay. People are going to want to know more about what you're doing.
So let's explain Freeman on the Land, where that comes from. Why don't you explain that, and then after I'll read Andrew's question to you.
Okay.
Like on the land, like explain that.
Well, number one, I used to say the word free man is kind of redundant. It's unnecessary because you're just a man. Man is inherently free. So to say free man is unnecessary because you're already free. But okay, sure, let's just expand on man. Free man. That doesn't alter what a man is because a man's already free. Okay, so free man is okay. The minute you put on the land, when you let somebody know that you are on the land, that takes you out of commercial jurisdiction, which is the holy sea of commerce above the land. No, we're not in commerce. We're not in the holy sea of commerce above the land right now, my friend. We're on the land, and the law of the land prevails here, and you're trespassing in my jurisdiction. And you're going to find out about what I can do to remedy that situation real quick. Okay, so free man on the land is a completely valid description of what a man exercising his fundamental unalienable rights really is. It's just a description. It's not a name.
Right, we're saying we are on the land, we are living bodies, we're not a corporation on the holy seas of commerce, even though it all happened in 1996 where everything went, public servants turned into officers, and all courts became banks, and that's the commercial jurisdiction that, in Canada, all provincial dealings are in that jurisdiction, commerce.
Oh, that happened long before 1996. There might have been some formalization.
There was formalization, and there were some things that definitely happened in 1996 that backs it up, where they went from servants to officers. You know, they started calling themselves officers. It was all done, you know, very quietly, but, you know, I observed some things with homeless people. The housing industry, homelessness is a byproduct of the housing industry, and the feds gave the jurisdiction or responsibility of housing to the provinces in 1996, and that's when Victoria, for example, BC, had 40 guys living under a bridge, and now there's, 4,000 or more homeless, because they make more money off people that are homeless, byproduct, by going into the system, hospital, and jail 3 or 4 times a week because they don't have anywhere to live, or they choosing not to live in a facility to preserve their dignity,
It's all they've got, maybe. So I got very intimate with how and when it happened, when it went into full force. I agree with you. It's been in play for hundreds of years, if not thousands of years, but it was pretty obvious what the feds did to, you know, as far as I'm concerned, in 1996, and I started observing. When did policemen become officers? When did public servants become officers, which is a corporate title, right? You want me to read Andrew's question now? About manor role and crazy night courts they use in England, how do they connect to our laws in Canada and America?
I'm back.
Oh, okay. Did you get... I just asked a question.
Yeah, sorry. I went to get my... my water was boiling. I went to grab my mate there real quick. It took me 2 seconds. So ask again. Sorry.
Okay, so from Andrew, about manor roll and those crazy night courts they use in England, how do they connect to our laws in Canada and America?
They're one and the same because, again, people have to realize that they're looking negatively at this one world government that these people are trying to build, but look at the positive sides. They've managed to enslave most of the world in the same system. The exact same system that all stems from the Law Society, the Bar Association out of England there. So if we're all under the same system, that means that everything is under the same system, which means as soon as we figure out what's going on, we've solved the world's problems, not just our own in our own little jurisdiction, okay? This is all the same scam over and over and over again. And that's why we can start getting into the solution-based stuff now, because basically everything that they're doing actually became irrelevant around the world the minute we figured out what was going on and we don't want to be part of their scam anymore. And that's what this is. This is all the Bar Association. It's all the Law Society. They wanted to make everything, laws and statutes under their jurisdiction that only they can interpret and give legal advice on, and you have to be licensed in order to do that. So this is nothing more than a monopolization of law or attempting to monopolize law. They've done it around the world. I mean, you've got bar association lawyers in China now. Like, the scam goes everywhere, and it all goes back to the monopoly, the franchise, right out of England, which is the Bar Association, the Temple Bar. They've brought everything under that jurisdiction.
Yeah, and the Roman maxim, ignorance of the law is no excuse, is what they operated by. Now we're not ignorant of the law anymore. So there's no excuses for them either.
That's a maxim of law. Ignorance is no excuse. And again, I am, when it comes to my person, my jurisdiction, my word is law here. No different than their word is law in their jurisdiction, because that's all this comes down to is realizing...
Your word is the law, right? Your word, whereas anything written is fiction. So once man-made laws are on paper, right? It's the word.
I wouldn't say that, because once my will is written down, my word is written down and attested to, that is the written word, the law of my jurisdiction. There's nothing wrong with written laws. It's us accepting their puke as laws. That's your puke. I don't care about that.
Okay. Good description.
It's all accomplished through their at law courts. What they do is they've taken and they've made everything is a trust. Okay? And every time you go to court, they make a resulting constructive trust against you. They construct a trust against you. Think
because it's
it.
A bank. It's not a court. It's a bank, and that judge is a bank.
Tracy, don't interrupt me for a second. Let me get this up so you can see what I'm trying to say. Now, just clear your mind for a second, okay?
That might be tough for Tracy.
So think about this for a second. Though.
I heard you laughing there, Dave.
Okay, they get you into court, okay? And they trick you into submitting to their jurisdiction. And once you submit to their jurisdiction, remember, everything is done through prima facie evidence, and prima facie evidence, even if sufficient, will stand until it's challenged. Okay? So now, they set up a constructive trust, wherein they make you the trustee, and they make the the government, the state of, the whatever, the city of, they make that the trustee, or excuse me, the beneficiary. And so a beneficiary never has to show up in court. A beneficiary can't show up in court.
Nope. His identity is private.
The state never shows up. The state never shows up at any of these courts. You show up. They've transferred their obligation on to you and turned you into a trustee because you didn't have your trust established. You didn't qualify your signatures. You didn't know what the game was. But now, what's that, Dean?
No, go ahead. I just like what I heard there.
You didn't know what the game was. And the average attorney didn't even know. It wasn't until you went to judge school that you actually started learning these things. In fact, if you look, West Publishing there in Binghamton, New York there, they have books on, you know, the judge's handbook that he's supposed to have on his bench that tells him what to do. It even tells you in there that they're setting up a Tontine insurance scheme, and they're creating a constructive, through the use of constructive trusts.
Yep.
So what ends up happening is they don't have to listen to anything you say because you are now the trustee, and the trustee is always, always, always guilty. Always.
Well, yeah, there's a few things I could expand on here, too. I want to let you finish, though.
And that's why they subpoena you into the courts, because actually a subpoena it's a legal form. It started out in equity and through trust laws. In fact, that book that I sent you yesterday, Dave, that you put up on the website there, if you peruse through that a little bit and you get to where it explains to you the origins of subpoena and what it was, it's completely different. Now it's evolved. It still has the basics there, but it's evolved into being something that's even more detrimental to our health. But see, the average person never learned these things. And the average attorney even didn't learn these things. It wasn't until they got to the echelon of judgeship that they learned the real stuff.
Yeah, lawyers are only trained in procedure only. No equity, yes, no substance. They don't know what they're doing. They're just trained to do this when this happens. That's it.
And what happened?
And their oath, the lawyer's oath, is first to the crown, then to the government, and then to your capital letter commodity status. They don't represent us at all. They represent commerce.
Oh, they represent you, but it's never going to be in a good way. But go ahead.
And what's even worse is now the attorneys that have been around for 15, 20 years, and they've seen it, and they've read, and they all of a sudden, those guys will figure it out because they've seen it. So now what ends up happening, you go to law school, right? You pass the bar, you get your license, but you can't just go out and hang up a shingle. You have to go to work under another attorney for a period of about 3 years. So now you go out and you do all these things, all these illegal things.
Yep, and okay? That's because you can't get bonding yet. You have to work under somebody else's bond before
that's
you become
right.
Bondable under the organization, so they know you're not going to cost them a ton of money. Go ahead.
And then what ends up happening is the attorneys that figure it out when they're young, the real bright guys, that figure it out during their apprenticeship, guess what happens?
They get out and go into private practice.
Not just that, but if they say they get a conscience and they say, hey, we're going to fill in people on what you're doing, the judge or the attorney that they're working for will say, well, you're a co-conspirator. You're a You're a joint tortfeasor. You're a co-conspirator. You're an accomplice to all these dirty deeds. So guess what? Now they have to go along with the program because of what? Because of all their past crimes and their moral turpitude.
And not only that, but when they're called to the bar, there's all sorts of agreements they have to enter into that they don't even understand the significance of until it comes time that they say, oh man, I got to expose what's going on. I can tell you right now, the agreements they had to enter into to be called to the bar and to be accepted would see them in jail for the rest of their life if
That's
they exposed
right.
what was going on because they've already contracted. They're done. They're told to shut their mouths, and if you ever say a word, we will destroy you. We have unlimited money, unlimited attorneys, and if you open your mouth, you might as well commit suicide.
We had an attorney back in, you probably heard of this guy, Dean, back in upstate New York named Roger Scott. He was from skinny Atlas, New York, and he was coming clean. And he did an addition on his house, but he didn't get the proper permit. They came in, and the city attorneys sent a construction company in there and tore down his house.
That's pretty funny.
And then they disbarred him.
Yep.
They did this all in the same short period of time. First they went, you know, the guy was starting to talk out about the laws and different things and talk out about judges and stuff. You can Google his name. I'm sure you can find some of the stories. Roger Scott was his name. They tore down his house and disbarred.
Yep, and that's probably not all they would have done if he continued. That would have been a warning shot.
I mean, that's quite a shot across the bow, isn't it? I mean, to send bulldozers in to tear down your house while you're not there? And
well, that's why it was a warning shot. Next time you and your family will be in there.
And put everything in the dump and take it away. I mean, all his, he didn't even have a chance to get any of his personal belongings out of there.
That's Freemason 101. Everything you got because of us, which means everything you got comes back to us if we want it.
And they attempt to do the same thing in both of our countries by when they took us off the gold standard, we can't pay for anything. So now, just get a vehicle. I mean, you could go pay cash for a vehicle today. And I don't care if you do it in Canada or in America. That dealership is still going to send the manufacturer statement of origin to the state. Because the state holds the ultimate lien. The state owns the vehicle. So when you think this through and you look at this for what it really is, you're out there driving around the state's car. You don't own it.
I would dispute that, and I can prove to the contrary. People tried to tell me that 2 years ago, and I can definitely prove to the contrary.
I understand. I'm just saying the way that I understand where you're coming from, Dean, but I'm trying to explain the way they have things put out so that when they're tricking you.
Yep.
You still, because I have several friends right now trying to get the manufacturer statement of origin from their
you don't
vehicles.
Need it. You'll never get it. You don't need it.
And it's like, that's what I'm telling them. I've told several of them, you are not going to get that back. They are not going to give it up. It's floating around out there in the sea of commerce somewhere, bundled in some derivative package, and you ain't never getting it.
If it is yours and you can claim ownership of that document because it's part of your car, why would you want it back? Why not just tell them how much it's going to cost them to maintain that legal title?
That's a good idea.
Okay, that's only one option, but I will definitely, I would go a separate route with that altogether. I would, that's maybe not something we'll talk about another time here, but let's go. I just made a couple of points here while you're talking about the court stuff with making people a trustee, and then we'll get it. I just wanted to go over my notes I made while you were talking here. Number one, I just want to clarify that they never make you the trustee. You cannot make somebody a trustee. They get you to appoint yourself by your actions because you don't even know what you're doing. And
that's
as soon
right.
as you appoint yourself, you're now locked in. You can't get out of that. A self-appointment is permanent. And you can't just appoint somebody. Somebody has to accept the appointment if they appoint you in proper trust law. Qualifying signatures, oh my God, one of the biggest things out there. I've really been trying to hammer that home lately with people because, again, you call it prima facie evidence. I call it operating on presumptions and assumptions because they never do have prima facie evidence. The courts operate on the presumption that the Crown or the prosecution has prima facie evidence because they're required to by law. Which is why the minute you question that, it turns out there isn't any. But you have to attack that presumption. Same thing with signatures. If you don't clarify who you are, they are mandated by law to assume who you are. And you're not going to like who they assume that you are, because that's mandated by law. And yeah, you're right. We've never learned this. We were never taught it intentionally. Which is actually, if you ask me, I think that actually just makes them out to be as pathetic as I claim that they are, that they required such a system of bad faith and deceit that they intentionally never taught us to try to get jurisdiction over us, because that you want to talk about tilting the game in your favor? I mean, come on, that's like a UFC athlete beating up a kid with Down syndrome and then dancing around believing he's tough. Okay, that is pathetic. These people are pathetic scumbags. They know that they can't do what they do if we even had an inkling of what's going on. Okay, so beating up.
That's the thing. They've never given us full disclosure on any of the things that they're doing against us.
Yeah, which is why we have to quit entering their jurisdiction, because that's where all this puke has standing. It's in the real world, nothing that they're doing has any standing. It means nothing. It's all garbage.
And the thing that really amazes me, Dean, one of the things that really amazes me is that people, you know, the average person out here, the average human being, doesn't realize that their biggest enemy is the American Bar Association, or any bar association, is their biggest enemy. People are trying to say it's the banks. Well, guess what? Who runs the banks? Every bank is run by attorneys. Who runs the corporation? Every corporation can only be represented by what? An attorney. So the real enemy, the real scourge of the earth is the attorney.
Can I respectfully disagree with you and one-up you here?
One-up me all you want.
If people want to know who the real enemy is, tomorrow morning when you wake up, I want you to walk into your bathroom and turn the light on and look in the mirror.
Yeah, but they're not going to accept that. You know,
they're not going to accept that. And number one, that's the number one philosophy of being a free man, by the way, is accepting liability for the fact that you're choosing to remain ignorant and deluded now once you're made aware of this news, this information. And that means the real enemy is no longer the Bar Association trying to deceive you. The real enemy is you now, because you refuse to accept liability for being ignorant and learning and changing the world. Okay, so once you have been made aware of this information, they're not the enemy anymore. If you're not doing anything about it, it's now you.
Exactly.
See, until then, yes, they are the enemy.
You know, people won't accept that, though, Dean. I've been trying to, you know, people have been asking me, well, what's the solution? What's the solution? We are the solution.
Thank you. Then I usually, it's funny when you say that, I usually then go on to tell people, and also, if you want to know who's going to save you, right after, if your next question is, oh my God, I can't believe what's going on, who's going to save me? The next morning when you wake up, I want you to walk into the bathroom, I want you to turn the light on, and I want you to look in the mirror.
Exactly.
Because you're going to be looking at the only one that's there to now save you.
Good
anybody
point.
Telling you, to, anybody trying to assume liability for you and say, oh, you don't have to fight anymore, don't worry about it, we already filed something and everybody's free. Bullshit. That means they don't want you to fight anymore because you're winning. Don't believe anything. Unless you've done it, it hasn't been done right. And they're your rights and they're yours to protect, not somebody else filing something for you. Go ahead. I'm done ranting.
No, but you're right. There's many ways to usurp your intention, your energy, your, you know, and it's the savior thing, and that includes you. I mean, you want to share information. You want to help educate people. People can't do what you do. They have to
find, it has to rise up within you, and it's a spiritual, political thing that's happening all at the same time, and that's what I'm discovering.
Yep. Oh, and let me expand on that then. Yet for the last part of my rant here is that for everybody out there, we just covered how the Bar Association handles their own members, right? When they would get uppity and want to start and have a moment of clarity and decide it's their duty to not be involved in what's going on anymore, so they destroy those people. Anyways, a lot of people are afraid. They're afraid the government's going to come kill them. They're afraid somebody's going to come kill them. They're afraid of something bad happening. Oh, they'll come and take everything. They'll take my kids. They'll take this. They'll take that. Or they'll just kill me, whatever. And the one thing I want to make everybody very aware of the fact is if there's one thing that I can actually guarantee that is going to happen someday, it's that you're going to die. The only thing I can promise people is actually going to happen is that one day you're going to die. Okay, so stop fearing that, number one. If you're going to die, great. Do it doing something useful. Die doing something that your kids would be proud of, or your family would be proud of, or your fellow man would be proud of. And that's standing up to what's going on so that we can all be more free and we can all create a better world. That's a little bit better than being a whiny, sniveling cockroach that agrees to abide by everything to live a little longer and maybe have a little bit better life than everybody, which you won't, by the way, give me a break. Nobody should fear death. And not only that, if there's anybody right now that probably really wanted to kill, I would put my name in the contention for people to be drawn from a hat for an assassination squad. Tracy's seen my house. How many windows do I have, Tracy?
A lot.
Do I have any curtains on my windows, Tracy?
No, you don't live in fear, Dean. That's what we love about you.
If people come and kill me, I've made sure that they've got a clean shot from all four angles of my house. Bring it on, buddy.
And let me add this. Freedom, like, I read a philosopher, I'll share it, Osho, and he points out that there's freedom from, and that's where we've been. We're, like, reacting, and we realize what's going on, so, you know, we stood up, and we've fought, and we've been arrested for the sake of freedom from. But then there's freedom for, and you just lump that all together beautifully, and that's where we're at now. What we're standing up is not from, and nothing to be afraid of, but it's for, and everything to live for. That's the freedom that we're talking about now. Not from, just forget about them. Just start expanding the new, and that's how we grow it, by focusing on what we want freedom for, to garden, to travel on the road, to, you know, do whatever we need to do on our property, to exchange, to barter. And that's when you put it into that element and you're considering your brothers and sisters and the future of your kids or nieces and nephews or the planet itself, that's the point of this. Is freedom for, not just to say, hey, you guys, you know, go away, because they are, and we don't really have to put things, Michael, in present tense, and I try not to do too much reporting anymore, instead, you know, focus on the fact that we're creators, so I don't think people are afraid, and I don't think people are getting, they're running for, you know, covering their own asses right now, you know, it's shifted,
yeah.
We're winning now, the pendulum swung.
Well, yeah, I keep calling it that, the battle's already been won. Sorry, the war has already been won. It's just the battle that's still raging right now, and their head hasn't realized that their ass got kicked yet. The message's a little slow getting up top. it might take a few years, so they're not as quick as the rest of us here. And like I say, we booted their asses real hard, and it's going to take a little while before the head realizes that just happened. So,
yeah, well, my analogy is the beast has been sliced open. Its guts are spewing all over the place, but that tip of the tail is still twitching, so get out of the way.
Well, you know, one of the things that aggravates me terribly is the amount of hours that I've invested in different people that want to learn, you know, that are willing to stand up. But then what ends up happening is as soon as the wolf is off their door, they go back into, you know, they go back into the woodwork and they stop learning. They stop researching. They stop,
Well, you know what, Michael, what it is we, you know, we took a long time to be programmed and to learn and discover. So it's the matrix, right? They haven't totally pulled out of the matrix. A lot of people are trying to juggle, you know, one foot in the new paradigm and one in the old, but it's repeat. You got to learn by repeat. And plus the brain has neurons, you know, connections that need to be established. And,
I think what Mike's alluding to, though, is that these people are like Cypher from the Matrix. They've just decided they've had enough of the real world once they finally are exposed to it, and they just want to go back and have a steak and be a movie star.
That's right. That's what I was trying to say. That's yeah. Basically what I was trying to say.
Found the choice.
Yeah. And that's actually... No, sorry. Go ahead, Michael.
What was that guy's name from the Matrix?
Cypher.
Neo.
Now, Cypher was the guy who wanted to go back.
Oh.
Put me back in. Plug me back in. I've had it with reality. Shit. I've had it with reality. And I think what people have to realize is that for a lot of individuals out there, they can't handle having their reality paradigm altered
shaken.
So much. They can't stand that much of a shakeup. It's really hard on them, and it causes a lot of stress on the organism, and they just want to. They choose to go back to the way things were because ignorance really is bliss. I hate using movie quotes. That's a lie. I use them all the time. But anyways, I always think of this in context of my dad. My dad is a guy who's been in the system now for 60 something years. He's retired. He just, you know. He was a taxpayer, now he's getting his retirement package, his pension, all that kind of stuff. Do you think he's going to be very accepting of this information? No. He has fought me tooth and nail. He's just like, oh, he just... No, because he would have to actually look in the mirror to accept this information as real and to change his life accordingly. He would have to look in the mirror and say, among other things, I have been lied to my entire life. I paid 40% of my salary over the last 40-something years to people, and I didn't have to. I've helped the system that's enslaving us. I've been deceived, and I fell for it. I wasn't smart enough to see through what was going on. And I now have to accept that and change my life accordingly. How many people could do that at that age?
You know, I understand exactly what you're saying, Dean. But my parents' house burned down when I was a young boy. A guy burned it down on June 9th, 1969. 6969, we got screwed. And he was one of them sick bastards that was going around burning down people's stuff. Well, my dad got interested he was interested prior to that, but... from that point on, he really got into learning the laws, learning the procedures, learning. And my mom went the complete opposite way. She didn't want to know nothing. She was still wanting to trust an attorney and trust this one and trust that one. And it put a terrible strain on their relationship. And when my dad passed away, the very first thing my mom wanted me to do was get all of the law books out of the house, to get all of the papers that we had written out of the house. She wanted all of that stuff gone. And when I was in my fight, my dad looked at me and he says, you know, Michael, as soon as the last child's grown and gone, she's leaving you. So what do you mean she's leaving me? She's leaving you because she can't stand the fact that you stood up and you will not back down and you will continue to learn. She doesn't like it. And guess what ended up happening? Exactly what my dad said within months. It was amazing. And I've seen it happen with a lot of different couples where they become unequally yoked. Where the one person wants to remain a slave, and the other person says, oh, hell no. I wasn't put here to be anybody's slave. And look at how many families have been destroyed and split up because of this legal system and attorneys.
It does destroy lives. I used to open most of my conferences when I go teach one with that and tell people to be careful, because once you start learning this stuff, it's addictive and it'll consume your life because you want to know the truth. People just really do want to know the truth. The second thing that's going to happen is most of your friends you now have are not going to be your friends much longer.
Because
they're
going to
be so sick. They're going to be so sick of hearing you talk about this stuff, and they don't want to know, that you're just not going to have those friends anymore. You're going to evolve, and you're going to become something far above them, if you want to call it that. Something that
in the new paradigm. You've shifted into the new paradigm, and they may shift and they may not.
Yeah, and I don't want to say it in an egotistical way, like you're better than them now. You're not. You're something different from them. And
you zoomed out. You've got a bigger picture. You've zoomed out, gone to the... Yeah.
Different things do not group together. Zebras do not group with hippopotamuses into herds. Okay? Only like things stay friends. And when you become something that you're not going to have those friends anymore. And worse than that now is the number three option, which is if your spouse does not follow you on this, you are either going back to being what you were, or they are going to come with you. But it's almost a certain thing that you are not going to be a couple anymore, because you cannot put unequal parts together.
That's right. And the thing that is really... You know, when I first started learning all this stuff, we used to go to the law library, okay? And we would spend hours in the law libraries. And you would meet other people that were doing and learning the same things. And a lot of good information got passed around. And you were able to become part of a different community. Now, with the advent of the internet and everything being online... When you lose your friends that are around you, what do you replace them with? It's hard to replace them with, because not with other people, because now so many things are done online that people aren't going to the law libraries anymore and doing the research that they'd need to do to prove that these bankers and attorneys are nothing but shysters and deserve one right between the eyes. But see...
Oh, God, no. How are my dishes going to get done unless one of them is chained up in my kitchen to repay all the debt?
Exactly.
I would never shoot them. I got a lawn that needs mowed.
Oh, I got a list.
I ain't letting them out of that liability. If they're dead, they can't repay. I would never kill them. What a waste of resources. Sorry, go ahead.
So we want to work with that.
Yeah, I got about 50 feet of chain out in my shop right now. I was just waiting for the first one to come and repent and want to make amends.
But you know, here's the funny thing, Dean. Now, when you demand that your attorney cause to be put in place in the proper procedure to cause, by their affirmation, that each and every one of the perpetrators against you be put in a proper form, in a proper forum, a court of competent jurisdiction, for relief and redress for any and all injuries and damages that you suffer and continue to suffer, listing each and every perpetrator whose acts or non-acts was the absolute proximate and probable causes for the damages and injuries that you suffered, while all acting in concert and contributing with no affirmative defense, causing themselves to be placed in a position as contributing with no affirmative defense, to be at least tortfeasors, joint tortfeasors, concurrent tortfeasors, successive, independent, alternatives, and even intentional tortfeasors, which can be based by each tortfeasor's relative culpability of contributing to our injuries and damages. You know? I mean, when you tell your attorney to do that, boy, that bastard runs away from you like his butt's on fire.
He knows that you're under
legal subrogation, and he knows that you know that he holds the position of bailee. He knows that you know that he's the one representing you in your stead and takes on all the liability. But they trick you into taking on their obligations.
Yeah, you want to make a lawyer run away real quick, just slide him a little form that has one sentence on it and ask him to sign it. And that just says that I will put your interests ahead of the interests of the court. My first duty is to my client and not to the court. Get him to sign that.
Yeah, no, he can't sign that because he's already taken a blood oath the other way.
Yeah, and if he wouldn't sign that, why would you ever use a lawyer that won't sign that? Any lawyer, I mean civil, criminal, anything. If no lawyer would sign a form that says my first duty is to you instead of the court, why would you ever use that guy?
Well, think about it, Dean. What have the lawyers done? The attorneys have created a closed union shop. It's a closed union shop, which is in violation of the Taft-Hartley Act, which is in violation of the Smith Act. I mean, they're violating so many things. They've overthrown the government from within, okay? And now, here we got, what have they done? They've overruled, overridden, and overthrown, and set aside the rules, regulations, constitution, the real laws that are on the books. They've set all that aside and created their own little paradigm.
Hey, I got a question from the chat. A question from the chat, Dean, that's relevant.
Yeah, I see them as well, and what I'm going to do is I'm just going to actually elaborate real quick on what Michael just said there for 2 seconds and just tell people not to worry about that. They haven't subverted anything in the real world. What they've done is they've expanded and created their own little world that is their own union, and they have to keep trying to drag us in there and believe their horse shit instead of just learning about our own rights and staying within our own jurisdiction. That's the whole key to this, is they try to drag us out into their jurisdiction where we abandon our protections, okay? And this is no different than if I put up a no trespassing sign on my yard and said, if you step one foot on my grass, I'm going to shoot you. And then some guy comes walking by in the front street and I say, hey, buddy, come here. And he looks at my sign and he's like, no, I don't want to come anywhere near your yard. And I say, you rotten bastard, and I run out there and I grab him and I drag him kicking and screaming onto my property. Did he trespass, and can I now shoot him?
No.
No, because I dragged him in there against his will. So what in fact
you
happened
actually
was...
You kidnapped him.
I trespassed in his jurisdiction. He now has a claim against me. I willfully entered his grass lawn. I better hope he didn't have a sign up that says I can shoot you, but he does. He can actually kill me for attacking him from an unlawful arrest. That's all the cops are doing. Okay, so anyway, okay, how many people have talked about that little scenario? And let's go on to the questions.
Let me jump in because we got about less than 15 minutes left. There's a couple good questions here. So, what would someone have to offer Dean to make him stop doing what he's doing? So, as far as how can they act lawfully? Like if they apologize to you?
No, nothing. I don't even want them to stop doing anything. I want everybody to stop investing and putting equity into that system. We're all leaving. They can do whatever the hell they want. I've left the party, and I'm creating a better one.
Okay, here's another question. Well, I have heard of a de facto government. Sorry.
Now, wait a minute. If the person, if you make a mistake, and you admit to making your mistake, a mistake can always be cured. And when someone admits to a mistake, they have to be forgiven.
After compensation has been offered.
Right.
What will it take to fix this injury?
Exactly.
Okay? That's the only law you need to know. So go ahead. And that's absolutely correct.
Yeah, I have heard of a de facto government. What does this mean, and what does it have to do with the 1933 proclamation? And then one more question, what is the first step I should take to detach myself from the system? Then that's it.
Perfect. Okay, number one, de facto means without lawful right. It means that they're just there, okay? So they have no lawful right to do anything that they're doing, but they're doing it. And that's why if you just kind of, operation of law means if you're just kind of okay with what they're doing and you go ahead and you just start obeying and contracting with them, there's nothing wrong with that, but they actually have no real lawful right. That is what de facto means.
Okay, so, can I read yep. what, out of Black's Law Dictionary, the 4th edition, 1954 edition, de facto government, this is their definition, de facto government, one that maintains itself by a display of force against the will of the rightful legal government, and is successful, at least temporarily, in overturning the institutions of the rightful legal government by setting up its own in lieu thereof.
Wonderful. Now, remember earlier in the show when I said that Canada, much like the United States, has a government right now that is not the governments that was created by the will of the people. Those were usurped. They created corporations that looked like the old government and then just took over basically by force. So those old governments are actually still there, but they're not functioning because nobody's manning the posts, right? It's the house that no one lives in. And that, so again, so they have no lawful right, and yes, they usurped what used to be there, made themselves look like the old government, but they are not. And that is what de facto government is, absolutely.
Exactly, and what they've done is they've set up, in order to make this work, they've set up non-governmental organizations that are all corporate in nature, and now we have corporations masquerading as governments.
Yes.
And they are all private contractors. They are all pirates.
Actors, now, exactly.
If we're operating in admiralty, what's one of the first rules of admiralty when you come across a pirate? What are you supposed to do to a pirate?
Shoot them.
You're supposed to kill it.
Yeah.
On sight.
What are you supposed to do to a pirate?
Yep.
So you can kill the transaction, Michael. You can kill the transaction because we're not recommending like killing people, and we're not going to solve it. But we can kill the transaction.
No.
Yeah.
Right, Dean.
Really,
that's a good way to look at it.
I really don't feel the need to kill anybody again because once they've damaged me, they can't pay me back if they're dead. Not when I have so many dishes that need to be done and lawns that need to be mowed, okay? That's what chains are for and restitution. So, yeah, we don't need to kill anybody. And I think we've pretty much beaten that one to death. So for people that want to know how do you detach yourself from the system...
Well, I like the way, Dean, I like the way that the Russians took care of the Somalian pirates from... Remember how whenever the Americans... The Somalian pirates were stealing from the Americans. They did nothing. All those people were stuck on that barge. What did the Russians do?
They shot them.
They come after a Russian vessel. The Russians went in, captured them, chained them to the vessel, and then sunk the vessel.
Yeah, except the problem is it turns out that what the Somali pirates really were people trying to stop all the nuclear waste being dumped off the shores of their country and all the other crap that their country is being used as a disposal site for North American waste. So, but unfortunately, yes, that was the way they were dealt with, was they were just unloaded on with a cannon from a war vessel, and they're now dead, and that's the end of it, so...
Yeah, I don't think that's what we want to be doing, but we just got about 5 minutes if you want to wrap it up, Dean, with how do they jump out of the system, or what's the first step besides recognizing you're a sovereign?
Yeah, number one, I covered earlier in the show, you never lost anything. The problem is you just never knew that you had something, and that's called sovereignty and your own unalienable rights and freedoms to self-determine. So your first... The way to get out of, if you want to consider it being detaching from a system, which turns out you don't have to detach yourself from a system, it's like you've been working at Tim Hortons your whole life for free, and you didn't know that you were working at Tim Hortons your whole life. In fact, you didn't even know there was anything but Tim Hortons. So now you kind of have to get out there and realize there's a whole new thing out there that you've never really explored, and that's self-determination and realizing that this isn't Canada as we know it, and you can just start living your own life and sending out little notices to people and start growing as a being, if you want to call it that. But education, start educating yourself. The first thing I tell people to do, and I won't speak to people until they've done this, is cancel your cable package or your satellite package. If you haven't done that yet, I will not speak to you because you there's no point. Because you're going right back to watching the brainwashing after you're done speaking with me, so that means my time was just wasted. Take the game systems away from your kids. Sell them on Kijiji or another website, get rid of all those stupid friggin' gaming systems you have in the house, and start spending time together as a family. And stop that shit from happening, because all you're doing is you're messing up the next generation, so things are going to be even worse. Go outside and plant a garden and do something with your kids, for Christ's sake. That's how you start helping yourself, number one. Okay, don't do anything until you've done all that. Because you're going to find, you're going to learn more law just from interacting with your kids and from starting to think clearly on your own without watching TV than you will from any law book. Do not start reading law books.
In other words, align with nature, align with nature, align with what's natural, not man-made structure, man-made bullshit. That was our old programming. The new program is align with life and living and that which truly sustains life and living.
Yes, one of the greatest minds that ever lived, that I consider anyways, is Sir Francis Bacon. And he was a naturalist. He was the guy that wrote, when you talk about writing the law, this guy wrote the law. He created the English language. This guy was a genius. You want to know where he learned law from? He would go out and he would sit in nature and do nothing but observe.
That's there you go.
All he did. Everything you need to know about law is happening out in your front yard right now. So
yep.
That's where you start. And then when you're ready, come to my forum where you're going to start learning an awful lot more as we get the forum up and running. I've been very negligent with it here in the last 2 months. I've been kind of busy, and I've been promising everybody we're going to start making it a focus point. That starts today after I'm done the show here. But I already promised I didn't even promise. I was threatened if I did not show up this morning that Tracy was going to kill me. I'm kidding. That's where to start. Get rid of all this puke in your life. Get rid of the cable. Get rid of the satellite. Get rid of the gaming systems. If your kids scream and holler and tell you that they hate you and they're going to spit on you or smack you in the face because they can't play their video games anymore, that should be proof that your family unit is not operating properly and they don't even respect you as an authority.
Yeah,
okay? That tells you that there is a problem and you should have gotten rid of those games 5 years ago. Okay,
here's one last question, if you want it.
Yep.
What I understand is that when affidavits have been sent and not rebutted, the first thing out of your mouth should be, we have already agreed through the private record of the parties.
Yep, the parties have already, this matter has been settled. There is no more dispute. Now, people need to remember that the problem with unrebutted affidavits, everybody went to town on that. They started sending affidavits out that had absolutely nothing to do with any current relationship between the two parties, and were just making outrageous claims that another party would never have to rebut in the first place. If some guy from Australia sent me an affidavit in the mail tomorrow that he owns my car, and I didn't rebut it, that does not mean that he now owns my car. I'm under no obligation to respond to that nonsense. It has to do with an existing relationship, an existing contract, and the terms thereof. For clarity. Or if you're expressing an injury. If he sent me an affidavit, registered mail, that said, yeah, Dean Clifford punched me in the face the other day. I've been injured. This is how much I've been injured. And this is how much I want to fix the situation. I'd have to go like, well, whoa, hang on. I never punched this guy. Right? But now I've got him for fraud, for making false claims. People have to understand what an actual affidavit is used for. It's not for making preposterous, ridiculous, unprovable claims that if nobody rebuts it, it now stands as truth, which a couple organizations out there are doing right now that people might know what I'm talking about. So, it must be, yes, there you go, it must be relevant to the situation. There must be an existing contract in place that it clarifies the terms thereof. This is my understanding. What's your understanding? Okay? Or expressing an injury. This happened. And if the party that was involved in that happening doesn't dispute it, they've agreed that that was the circumstance that happened. You're not making any claims in it. You're not accusing anybody of anything. It's just an absolute statement of facts. This happened, this happened, this happened, this happened, without calling somebody names or without making determinations of law. I was kidnapped. No, this person moved me from point A to point B against my will. I did not consent to what they did. That's a plain statement of facts. If you put in an affidavit, I was kidnapped, you just rendered that whole affidavit absolutely useless. Okay?
Well, only if you don't put the elements of kidnap in there, Dean.
Yeah, I would agree. I'm trying to keep it simple.
Yeah, we want to leave it on an up note.
let me break in here and say something.
Okay.
What I like about my radio station is if you want to go over your 2 hours, go for it. And Tracy, okay, take your mic off of automatic setting because you're way too loud.
Oh, pardon me. No, automatic? I've only got a headset on.
Yeah, but your mic setting on Skype is set on automatic.
Oh, okay.
I'm mute. Just being very tranquil.
Yeah, Tracy, I was almost feeling married there for a second.
You know what I love about Wolf Spirit Radio is the hosts I have here are so informed that it's scary to most people, and yet, good God, I learn so much that my brain stays addled for days.
Excellent. Well, if we really wanted to get into it, I'm sure we could tell you some stuff that your head might actually explode from. But again, I'm trying for the listeners here, I'm thinking we're trying to keep it on the KISS principle. Keep it simple, stupid. If people are interested, the information's out there. They just have to become interested and then pick their path and come back at us. I'm not trying to force anybody onto my lawn, but my yard and my bonfire is open and welcome to anybody who wants to come and sit around the fire and learn. So I'm not going to drag you there, but you're going to want to come.
What I like about the radio shows we have here is it's like you're sitting around a coffee table having coffee. I don't censor my guests. I don't censor my host. I don't censor nobody because you're presenting your truth, and if people don't like it, they're invited to go elsewhere.
Yep, and they're invited to go watch Honey Boo Boo.
By the way, I can't do without my satellite TV because my canines love the New Age music too much.
Lovely. I'm pretty sure you could probably get that online, though, for free.
See, guys, I don't have a TV, so I'm doing pretty well.
You're way ahead of the game. And it is mandatory, by the way, that people disconnect from cable TV, satellite, and get rid of their gaming systems. I wasn't lying about that. It's not something I just made up. In fact, that was on Angela Stark's radio show there last week. I promised her I was going to come on again, even though I was taking a one-week break from everything. And at the very start of the show, I said, "And Angela, I'd like to tell all your listeners right now that anybody that's here tonight that wants to learn anything, if you have not canceled your cable and your satellite packages yet, there's no point in you even being here. I actually want you to hang up and get off the call because you're wasting my time."
In my favorite,
and that's 100% true, Dean.
I agree with you. I agree with you. But I have people come here like to watch stupid programs, so I allow. You know, that's why I have satellite TV, because I do like my Japanese anime on Saturday nights.
Yeah, but you got it in balance there.
Let's just say some of us are able to watch things like movies just as a relaxed point and not get caught up in the propaganda that is behind the scenes. So for newbies, though, that's tough because the propaganda they're hearing completely conflicts with what we're trying to teach them, and they're not able to differentiate between that yet.
That's why I don't that's why I don't watch movies, because my favorite game is called Wolf Spirit Radio / Wolf Chat.
Yeah. Oh, man. You know what? I tell this people all the time. I always say to people, "Man, you like your video game because it's real, right?" And they're like, "Oh, man, that's the most realistic game out there right now." I said, "Yeah, I got a different one. It's called Life, and it's called getting into a arrest scenario with an RCMP in the Sobeys parking lot. You want real life and excitement where there's real consequences? Join the fucking game of life, baby."
Absolutely.
Tell them how you feel, Dane.
Now, you want a rush? You fight the government if you want a rush. Because you're not going to get that from a video game system. That's a pathetic replacement. Come and join the game of life, baby, where there's real consequences. Then you're going to learn how to strategize.
See, and that's another thing that happens through that whole watching TV stuff. You don't learn how to think because you're being told how to think. So you never learn how to think.
Yep.
And it's amazing the people that I know that have quit watching television. It's like after they're into it for a couple of months. You know, that first month, everybody that I've seen that watches TV, they're going batshit crazy. But if they keep reading and keep learning and stuff, after a couple of months, it'll get to be where, like myself, when I go buy a TV and see a TV on, it just makes me want to puke.
Yep. You know, now, here's go ahead, you were done.
I look at what's being sent out there across the airwaves, and, you know, all they're doing is programming me. Well, if I'm going to be programmed, I'm going to program myself, and I'm going to program myself with stuff that's going to make it so that I can stand for myself, because Dean brought up a very important point when he said the words self-determination. How does Congress do anything they do? Through self-determination. How do any of these different corporations masking themselves as government, what do they do? How do they do it? Through their own self-determination. And that's what it's going to take for us to become free and live the kind of lives that we want to live, where we're unencumbered and where we're actually helping each other. That's what it's going to take. Our self-determination. Yep.
And divestment from the system and investment in your own. That's a very big thing. Again, I haven't talked about any of the solution-based stuff tonight, and I'm not going to on the show, on the radio here today, but there's something I'm going to be launching right away on the forum. I've been delayed a few weeks now, and my members are starting to get a little uppity about it, because I've been, kinda, like I say, kind of reticent to getting around to getting the forum up and running. But I've got the solution to all of this. Tracy's aware of it. Most of my mods are aware of it. We've got an organization we're going to be building that directly, basically, competes with what's going on, except it's going to be in a positive way, and I think a lot of people are going to like what we got together here, because I've told people before on other radio shows, the problem right now is that this system seems like it's the only party on the street. There is no other party right now. People are worried about where do they leave, where do they go, how do they make money, what do they do if they, you know, if they just get like blacklisted and no more bank accounts and no more jobs. We have to make a new party. We have to build a new system, not use one that they created for their benefit. We have to create something now for our benefit. And the stakes are high right now, because people have to look around right now and realize that the environment is not doing so well with how these corporations, these governments are treating it right now. So we kind of have to get on this, or there's not going to be any place left for us to have our party on. In George Carlin 101, the planet's not going anywhere. We are. These people are killing us. We got to stop all this stuff. So we got a fast track solution to all this, and it's we're going to be talking about it a lot on the forum. But we need people to get involved, and we're actually kind of putting up a little bit of a firewall that we're only really going to be. We want people that are really willing to put up or shut up and get involved to become part of what we're doing, to make sure that people are going to be putting their energy into the right place. So.
Well, see, one of the biggest problems that I see, Dean, is the lack. You know, we have a lack of enforcement. You know, we know what they're doing is wrong. We see all these places they're doing things wrong, but we can't get we haven't really been able to have things enforced against them yet. But once the enforcement issue gets taken care of, you're going to see this house of cards just tumble quick.
I would agree, and I would say that I would offer up that used to be the problem, and that's all I'm going to comment on. Get involved, people. It's getting a lot more fun over here than it is in the legal fiction land.
I think the enforcement is us. It's the divine protective matriarchal energy that's rising up in all of us, and we're waking up and we're taking action on behalf of the people. That's the true enforcer, is nature. Back to nature again.
I could expand on that then. A lot of people want to leave the system. It's our system, okay? Your person has equal standing in commerce to the American government. It's just another person. Once you take it back and you start self-determining, your person, your legal person, is on equal international commercial standing with the U.S. government. They just have more people. That's it. At law, you have equal standing. all persons are created equal, okay? And there's all sorts of international laws in place and all sorts of systems in place for enforcing damages to your person. I'm going to be covering a lot more of that in my forum here in the next little while because, again, it's just an extension of you. It's a tool. It is not you. It can be used to do good things and or bad things, no different from a hammer. I can build a house with a hammer, or I can use a hammer to smash somebody's head in. That doesn't mean the hammer is evil. It's my use of it that determines what the hammer is going to accomplish, okay? So the first thing you got to realize is your person is a hammer. It's just a tool. It's an extension of you, and it has things you can... there's things it can do that you need. Okay? I wouldn't build a house very quickly if I relied on my thumbs for pushing the nails into the wood.
Exactly.
You can't do anything as a man in commerce. You need a hammer, and that's what the person is. Okay? Quit being scared of something just because you were stupid and didn't learn how to use it right in the first place. Okay, learn from that. Start using it right. So,
well, plus, Dean, you know the other problem that I've watched over the course of years is I've seen these different programs come around, you know, where people will try these different things. And then all of a sudden you won't hear anything about it for 10, 15 years because the people that originally tried the stuff back in the 70s all ended up in jail, and now it's coming back around again. And it really just gets me really torqued when I see these people, the gurus that are out there and they're all out to market something. And they're giving people bad information, and the people, what makes me feel saddest is the people don't do their own due diligence to find out if what they're getting ready to do is true, right, and proper.
Man, am I glad you said that.
And they just fall for what these guys say is the right thing. And you can always tell the guy that's one of these guys that are that kind of person because, you know, instead of saying, well, wait, this, okay, like this OT, what is it, One People Trust deal with that whole thing that's been coming down here lately?
I've heard of it, yep.
Yeah. Now, I read that stuff, and right out of the gate, I knew it was wrong. And I brought up some of the points that I saw that I knew from my research and from my studies that were wrong. And the funny thing was is that the people that I talked to about it, you know, they didn't want to hear it. They just went ahead, you know, and I even told them where to go look to disprove this. And they ended up just doing it anyway. And we're going to see a lot of repercussions from that OPPT or whatever it is.
Oh, yes, you know? I made some predictions on that already. And again, I've actually refrained from commenting at all because I don't do that anymore on any other organization out there. As soon as somebody asks me anything about something else now, like, oh, Dean, what do you think of OPPT? My response lately has been, oh, I see, you want me to assume liability for you not doing your own research.
See, and that's the thing that I've been trying to get people to do. To just do their own due diligence. Don't believe anything I say. Don't believe one word I say because I'm human. And all humans are liars. Every single one of them. Every single one of us lies on a daily basis.
Or exaggerates.
That's a lie.
Yep. I know it's a better word for a lie. If you call a rose by any other name, right?
We're all liars. So guess what? We're better off. In the end, we can. It's only self-preservation to do your own due diligence, so that you can see if what the person's trying to charge you $1,500 or whatever they're charging for it, is it worth it?
Yep. Oh, and I'll answer to. No, go
and
ahead.
You're going to find that 99.9% of the time, it's just a bunch of hooey.
No question.
So here's another question, Dean. Oh.
The question, is it the most powerful tool we have? Is that the question you're talking about? Well, that's one of them. I'll answer that one first.
Okay.
The most powerful tool that you guys have is this lump of gray goo that's sitting in your cranial space up on the top of your shoulders there. There's this thing called a brain that they really don't want you to use because that is the most powerful tool that you have. That is what can manifest anything that you need or want in life if you start learning how to use it. They don't want you to use it. They want to be your brain. They want everything that you say, speak, or do, believe, or want to come from them instead of your own brain. Start using it. That's why I want people to shut the TV off.
Then that would be beliefs rather than your own knowing, and there's a big difference. You're much more empowered when you've discovered and you know rather than what you believe.
Man, you know what? People need to start dreaming again, too. Since I don't watch TV for a long time now, and there's some things I've been doing that have restored my ability to have vivid, vivid dreams every night. And when I wake up in the morning, I just go, hot damn. You can't make a movie like that.
That's your third eye. That's what's happening. It's using your imagination.
Your brain is so much better than a TV. It's unbelievable. The problem is that you're not using it, so it's a little bit weak right now, and it's going to hurt the first couple of times you start using it again, right? Just like the first time you start lifting weights ever in your life. And it's going to take a while to build up those muscles to be able to start doing something effective with it. And when you're able, and once you got that down, Pat, man, there is no stopping you.
Well, that's what John Lennon took a bullet for, okay? If people listen to his song, Imagine, that the lyrics are simple, and he sings about the now, and using your imagination is the most powerful thing we can do.
People want to know where I get most of my law sources from, and unfortunately, I've had to tell them, you know what? I sit and I think.
And imagine.
That's where my law is coming from. I think. You don't need a law source. Everybody wants this, like, supreme man that lived, that wrote this all down in a book somewhere. Are you kidding me? Like, there's a definable book you can read. No, no, no. You are the authority. You understand law. Just start using your brain again. Believe me, you'll know right from wrong. You'll know what law is. You'll know what's real, what's not.
But you know what, Dean? I think you're actually thinking with your heart as well, because that's what we download information that's all out there. It's like copyright infringement. All thoughts are out there, all this information. So you're thinking, your brain is processing it, but you're actually connecting to, you know, information that's available for everybody. Once you go inside and look for that knowing and you ask those questions, then the information comes to you, and the thinking is part of it. But it's all out there for everybody to access, really.
I'm glad you said that, Tracy. Isn't it interesting that scientists have now confirmed that 90% more information leaves your heart and goes to your brain than what goes from your brain to your heart?
Wow.
So it's a scientific fact that we have two brains. We have the brain in our head and the other brain that's in our gut.
In our
gut feeling.
Well, our heart. It's our heart. It seems like the gut, but it actually is physically in the heart. A fetus, it starts out with the heart.
It's the gut feeling. Now, where is the information coming from? If 90% more information is leaving our heart and going to our brain, where is that information coming from?
Source.
It's a good question for people to sit and think about. I'm not going to give people an answer. I want them to sit and think on that for a while. Where could that possibly be coming from?
Mm-hmm.
Just think about that.
Okay, here's a great question. You might have the list as well, but what can the people do to speed up this process? I mean, as far as waking, people are waking up and they're grasping it, and what's the best thing we can do to speed it up, both for ourselves and society as a whole?
Well, unfortunately, and you'd kind of touched on this earlier, Tracy, is that once you start creating these new neural pathways in your brain, it takes a little bit of time for that to really pick up momentum, right? But it becomes exponential. And you're going to have a lot of profound holy shit moments. I just had a long conversation with Chris Sosnowski about that here in Winnipeg. And he's newer. He's been around for about a year. And things have really been coming together for him the last couple of months. And he talks about how it just increases exponentially. Sometimes you have a profound thought that you go, oh my God, I can't believe how much more I am now than I was a couple of months ago. And you don't think it's even possible for there to be something further. And then 2 months later, you're like, oh my God, I can't believe how small I was 2 months ago. I thought I knew back then, but my thoughts are just increasing exponentially now.
Right, because when you focus on, yeah, what you focus on, it expands. So when you're focusing on the light of truth and information, then that body of knowledge or that knowing expands. And I also want to add that, you know, metaphysically, you know, we create a monkey effect. It's not just because we're actually having the conversation with our neighbor that we could have a year ago, and now he's asking questions or he's more open. It's in the field. It's affecting people that aren't open, you know, that aren't having the conversation, I should say, and all of a sudden, they're changing their opinion about something. They were very structured in their belief yesterday, and now today they're just on their own without the conversation. They're offering a shift, and so it's happening that, you know, that monkey effect happens in the atmosphere as well.
Yep, you will change as a person.
I feel part of what also happens is that as you were explaining, Dean, through the exponential growth, what also happens is that now when you start thinking and analyzing the past situations in your life, you start to see the different things that had occurred to and had happened to you that you weren't cognizant of prior to starting to awake.
Oh, you're going to discover real quick when you look back over your life that, as one person said here, it's the universe that's speaking to you. It's been trying to teach you stuff for an awful long time, but it's competing with the TV right now. And unfortunately, you're more willing to believe something that's got bright lights and flashes lots than you are something that's been trying to speak to you for your entire life, right? Just like a cat with a shiny toy. Like, the minute something shiny comes along and flashes a couple beams of light, you're off chasing it, thinking it's great.
Yep.
Let's puke. Start listening. Start observing. Listening. Okay? Again, people always want to know, well, how do I get smarter? I always tell them, read something a smart person wrote. That's not hard.
Can I say something?
Oh my God, you're still here.
I just woke up. Give me a break.
Yikes.
You're having a seminar at the end of May. Is that correct? In Victoria, British Columbia?
That's what I'm told. It's either going to be the end of May or the beginning of June, I think. Nora and I think Tracy is helping with that. They want to put something together. So,
well, if you would like to give me permission to come in on my webinar network, I would be happy to broadcast that, make a recording, and put it up on your site. And if you have a call-in number, I can set up a call-in number where people can call in and pay to listen to this.
That sounds like just the thing you should be talking to Nora and Tracy about.
Yeah, we can set that up. That's awesome, Dave. We still have to nail it.
Fantastic.
Still have to nail it down, get some details, but we definitely want to promote it and get people to attend and or you know, show their support in any other way.
And I would like to connect you with one of my favorite hosts. Not that you're all not my favorites, but Rebecca Jernigan, I know personally. I've known her for a lot of years. And she's been doing internet radio longer than, well, probably as long as Kevin Smith. And I have her archives going back to 2006.
And she's good.
Oh. Where does she live? Where does she? What area? Is she in Canada? Or?
She's in Kansas City, Kansas.
Okay. Well, I would like to speak to her about the event for sure.
And tomorrow night, she was going to retire, but her life's taking new directions. So she's coming back on the air every Monday night from 7 to 8:30 p.m. Pacific time with her show, which she has yet to name, like Dean.
Man, hey, don't put me in a box, man. Don't give me a name.
Freeman on the land, whether you like it or not.
Yep, there you go. I even took that one and one-upped them on it. I said, well, if you're going to call me a free man on the land, at least call me an F-I-M-O-T-L. I'd like to be a free Irishman on the land, if you don't mind. So... but they wouldn't change the record at the jail. They simply put it in writing that I was known to be a free man on the land. So it's like, okay, well, all right, whatever.
Yeah, we can go with that. We've decided we're going to make it work for us instead of against.
Go with it. There's nothing wrong with that, man. I mean, Robert Menard should be proud. He was the original free man on the land, being called a free man on the land, or the most well-known and outspoken one back in the day. So, again, use the energy. That I know of, anyways. I mean, shit, I only got out there publicly a few years back. Everything I was doing was private before then, so I didn't shit. I didn't even know who anybody was until about 3 years ago when everybody started contacting me after the first couple of videos came out. Guys, I honestly thought this was stuff that most people knew. I'm not kidding.
Me too. When I started standing up for things, I was surprised how many people just said, "What are you talking about?" It was just so logical. I was like, well, 1 + 1, I mean, look at this is what's happening. But there was no comprehension at all. When I started walking through it as well,
I even mean in the free man movement, I just thought this was most of the people knew this kind of stuff. They were at least so that's why things kind of, I decided, yeah, well, I think we need to get some videos out there and start.
You mean that's why you became in demand?
Well, I guess, I don't know, but I think maybe just it's because I'm a belligerent, I don't mind speaking my mind, maybe, who knows. But yeah, for radio broadcasting, that sounds awesome. The conference there, or the seminar at the end of the month or the beginning of June there. But if people can come out, I'm going to highly recommend that, because you ain't seen nothing until you see me ranting and berating people live with a headset on.
I have just put a contact in there that you may want to contact, because he also lives in British Columbia. And he is a common law lawyer who's also a native Canadian.
Okay.
You may want to get him in there, because I've talked to him several times and he is brilliant.
And he's in Victoria.
Yep.
Is he still a lawyer?
Oh, good. I would like other people to be there.
Is he still in the system, I was wondering. Sorry, Dane.
Yeah. And the question would be, was he ever an actual bar association lawyer? If he just calls himself a lawyer now, which I'm okay with, by the way, you can call yourself a lawyer and give legal advice. You cannot be charged with practicing law without a license for giving legal advice and even calling yourself a lawyer. Don't be afraid of names, people.
But actually, it's lawful advice, not legal. That's the their stuff, legal.
Nothing wrong with using the word legal either. I don't care. It's a word. I can use it just the same as them.
Okay, I just kind of hold the two separate. It just keeps things simpler for me. But if you think it's more confusing, I'm with you there.
It's more confusing. I don't care at all. Lawful, legal. It's all equity. It's all a claim. There's either been an injury or there hasn't been.
Just like driving or traveling. Let's not get hung up on the words roads.
I was not traveling. I was conveying myself. I was preambulating in my carriage. And you must call it a carriage and not a carriage, because the proper pronunciation will determine whether or not the law applies to you. Like, come on, what puke is that? Like, anybody that believes that horse shit, that's why they're going to go to jail. Anyways, so I would actually love other speakers. I think Nora's been talking about getting some other people out there to even join in and be a speaker at the seminar kind of thing, like a representative from Idle No More maybe, and a representative maybe from Occupy. I think that was in the works or contemplated, or maybe there's somebody contacted.
We've got some contacts out waiting for replies.
I'm letting them kind of handle that. I don't know if people have realized this or not yet, but I'm trying to delegate some responsibility here to other people, and I've been letting anybody that kind of steps up and wants to put in some effort here and get involved recently. There's been a bit of a culling here and there for people that kind of wanted to become, let's not get into that. But anyways.
Well, we're merging. We're grassroots, and we've come from different places, but we have a common goal and intention, and we recognize that the solution is in merging these simple, basic, empowering tidbits of knowledge and truth.
Yep. And yes, I agree. We do have to wrap it up, Tracy, because
Michael, actually, we got to wrap it up because Dean's got an obligation here at 11:30, and so do I.
Well, let him let him get his thing out there, though. I'm not gonna.
The good thing about doing this is it'll keep us from going into burnout, because that for years I was out trying to show people this stuff and did seminars and the whole bit. And I just got burned out.
Well, Michael, that's the difference between advocating and working with the system and then activism, when you say forget the system and create the new. That's when the burnout stops, and that's what's happening for all of us.
Well that's... I wish you could see some of the papers and some of the legal stuff. Yeah. But at any rate, Tracy, what I'm saying is that when you're out there doing this stuff on your own, because, see, this has only really gained popularity in the last, like, 5 years. I've been doing this stuff since 1973.
I would even say two, not even five.
Okay. So, I mean, the burnout is the burnout from going out there and trying to help people and trying to explain things to them. And I mean, it used to be really bad.
Well, because people were in resistance, and now they're more open. But we downloaded our learning information, if you will, over many years. And, you know, things are speeding up. You know, time is dissipating, the quickening. So people are, you know,
Michael, are you trying to tell me you don't like banging your head against a brick wall?
That's exactly where I'm at. That's why, you know, I learned a real good thing from my dad. One day I was trying to explain this to a guy, and my dad goes to me, he goes, "Hey, Michael, that's his story, and he stuck with it. You know what you know, and you know what you know is right. He thinks he knows what he knows, and he thinks he knows what he knows is right. So you're not going to change his mind. You're not going to wake him up until he goes through enough pain." And I said, "You know what, Dad? You're right."
Yep.
Because, see, it goes... I'm really down on the gurus out there I got kicked out of a group because I shared information. Dave will tell you about that sometime. But the funny thing, the thing that really bothered me was that, now here it just proved my point, the way, you know, I felt this way about this couple, and then after I was kicked out of the group for sharing some information, I thought, you know, that's what's going to keep us from moving forward. That attitude right there. With what we're doing and what you're doing, you and Tracy are doing, you're being inclusive, which is what God's all about, being inclusive, not exclusive.
I really think that the answer is in alienating absolutely everybody. That was sarcasm, by the way.
No, but you're seeing a shift with a lot of groups are realizing that solution is about merging, Michael. It's going to happen more and more. So we shouldn't be discouraged about where we've been and how tough it's been. We should be really encouraged now to just move forward.
There is not one solution to this. Like a group that, that guy has three, believes something slightly different from us, so he's ostracized. We alienate that guy now. That is so absolutely asinine and ridiculous. I can't even believe it. So that used to be really disappointing. It's not the case anymore. That's kind of changing as well now. And I had something else really cool I was going to say about that, and I can't think of it right now. Shit.
But people are moving out from the ego over to the heart, and the heart is inclusive. The ego is about the individual, and the heart is about everybody.
Yeah, well, we've covered so much here today. Okay, I got a meeting that at like 2 o'clock here, and I haven't eaten yet and stuff like that too. So,
yeah, we should get off. Thank you very much, Michael, for joining in. That was turned out to be a great show. We were going to start with a list of questions and just questions and answers, but that turned out great. Thank you.
Yeah, I sent you a friend invite on Skype. I sent you a friend invite on Skype there so we could chat sometime.
Okay, beautiful. And Dean, I wish you and Tracy both all the wonderful blessings in the world, and I hope your show gets listened to by millions.
If we're going to be doing a Sunday one here as well, everybody else has to remember that as soon as we have the radio app up on our forum, we're going to be doing radio, live stream, audio, and video, and everything right from our forum. And we got a lot of stuff planned around there too, and building a big community. So there's going to be that as well.
Okay, awesome. Thank you, Dave, very much for this time, and we'll do it again next week. and I'll get my microphone tweaked. Sorry, I couldn't find that automatic setting.
Well, that's quite all right. We're here to help. And
thank you.
I'm going to go out with a little bit of Michael Franti. And what I do is I edit the music out of the shows that I put up in the archives, because a lot of people are making YouTube videos. I don't have the time or the resources to do that because I'm too busy running Wolf Spirit Radio.
And we're glad
we'll
you
link,
are.
We'll link up with your site there to make sure that the links are available if people come and get that audio and the video.
I'll get with you later because I need a picture and a short bio from you, Dean, so I can put up. I got to get the host page up to date because it's behind. We're behind on the website, but it's growing. Wolf Spirit Radio is growing, and we're donations. We're listener supported because I will not have any commercials on my radio station. Because why? It's not about money. It's about getting the truth out. And if you like what you hear, we have a donate button, and it works. And on that note, I want to thank you, Dean, for your first show. And Tracy, I want to thank you for being a co-host. And Michael, thank you again for coming in. And Michael has a show from 7 to 9 p.m. on Wednesday nights. It's all Pacific time because I'm in Nevada, and I live in this time zone, called Through the Eyes of Equity. And Dean and Tracy, you're invited to come on his show, too.
Yeah, I got no problem with that. I committed to making myself as available as humanly possible over the next short term and long term to the forum members on my on DeanClifford.info and to the moderators and admins to get everything fixed and running properly here. And any other spare time I have, I'm more than happy to come on.
Because you two are so, you and Dean, you and Michael are so in sync, it's scary.
Oh, I think we'd have a good chat. Yeah, that's why I made sure I added him, put a friend request in right there on Skype. We could have a good couple of chats about equity. And I think everybody else has to keep in mind, too, a lot of us also have day jobs on top of saving the world. myself, I just put in a 70-hour week at my job site, getting a renovation project back up to speed after being away for 2 months. And when we come home, we choose sleeping or this, and sleeping usually loses. So have patience. We eventually get to everything, eventually.
And yes, we do. Thank you very much, Dean. This has been a great start to a new format in on Wolf Spirit Radio. Awesome.
Yes, okay, well, I'm going to eat breakfast.
Okay, we'll see you guys. Thanks, Dave. Thanks, Michael.
Right, have a great day, everybody.
Thanks, Tracy. Thanks, Dave. Thanks.
Bye-bye.